If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. I'm David Knight here with Owen Schroer. We've got a large number of stories today. Of course, there's always a new Russian story. This is kind of like the tale of Scheherazade, where she came up with an interesting story so that she could come up with another story every night to save her life. That's what the Democrats are doing with Russia. So this is the latest tale of Russian intervention. We're going to debunk that for you. It's actually, surprise, surprise, fake news. Only 6% of the people even care about this stuff. 94% of the people don't think it's an issue, and it isn't an issue. It is made up. But when they run out of these stories, just like Scheherazade, they're going to face the axe. And we're going to talk about another example of how Washington is completely arrayed against Donald Trump. We have the U.S. Post Office. This is a story that's been building for about a week. Now we find that it's actually been determined to be a Hatch Act violation. Campaigning for Hillary Clinton and incurring massive overtime charges. We're going to break down the details of this, but that is what we're seeing here. The fact that all of these postal workers were given, of course, it was unpaid leave, but they had to hire people at overtime wages in order to replace them. So we're going to talk about that. Of course, we're going to talk about the fake GOP taking out Obamacare repeal, and the fact that the GOP is now going to be betting the House on tax reform. A meeting today with Donald Trump. What else do we have on the schedule here, Owen?
Well, I don't like to hear that because they're probably going to lose that bet as well. It's amazing. Actually, we were on the air probably a month ago when Republicans were celebrating the passing of the health care bill in the House, and we were up here laughing.
Yeah.
We were like, nothing to celebrate here. This is a dead bill walking right here.
That's right.
And of course, that's what it turns out to be. And it seems like that's the case with all of these bills. You know, Congress is overstepping Trump in a lot of different ways. We've got another one here today. You remember Trump was trying to cut a bunch of public funding to media outlets. Well, Congress decided to go ahead and fund those media outlets anyway to the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars here. I'm looking for the right number.
Meanwhile, they don't want to fund his plan for infrastructure when it comes. Well, so they're going to block infrastructure, but they're going to fund propaganda.
David, this is
because that's their infrastructure.
It literally makes me want to pull my hair out. Today, the meeting is still going on. It's been going on for, I guess, over 4 hours now. The 2018 budget resolution markup. This meeting has been going on all day today on the Hill. I've been listening to this thing all day. It's unbelievable when you listen to these people. You've got class warfare nonstop. This is what I keep hearing all day. The millionaires and billionaires. What are we, Bernie Sanders now? Take from the poor and give to the rich. This budget is cuts giving to the 1%. They never cite anything. Where is this money that the poor people are getting? I'm yet to hear this explanation. Where is all this money that the poor people are getting that's being taken away? What money is it that you're literally taking from poor and giving to the rich? I don't understand this concept. This is a concept that everybody preaches, but then nobody backs it up. Nobody backs it up. Everybody talks about mandatory spending, David. Mandatory spending?
Yeah.
What the hell is mandatory spending? I've never heard of mandatory spending.
Well, that's their entitlements, you know, because they're entitled to what you have. And that's their view of rights. You know, you and I think of rights as the right to be left alone. They think of rights as their right to take what you have. that's what the socialists call entitlement spending. It's a very different view of rights. And, of course, we had Barack Obama say, well, we got positive rights and negative rights. Guess which one he said was positive? Well, the positive rights are your right to somebody else's stuff, your right to be given free things. We simply want to be free. We want to be left alone. That's what we're talking about when we talk about rights. So just as we see with all these other things, even the way that we define words is completely polar opposite from the left.
Well, here's the thing that they won't describe. It's just like the same thing with healthcare. They say, you're taking healthcare away from all these people. Well, they might be getting a new healthcare plan. They might be losing their plan, but they couldn't afford the healthcare to begin with. The poor people are the ones that are being harmed by this bill. They can't afford the premiums. They can't afford the down payments. And the Democrats never address that. They just say, take from the poor and give to the rich. It's a total false narrative.
All right, well, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. And then Alex Jones is going to join us to break down this latest false tale of Russian intervention. We'll be right back.
Live
From the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Clearly, the deep state wants to try to remove Trump from office and declare the 2016 historic political realignment as Russian meddling, and not just remove Trump from office, but say that all the Republicans that got elected in that giant landslide that took control of the House and Senate, that they all got elected by Russian meddling. Now, all the so-called hacking's been disproven. But there are a few meetings, like there would be with anybody at that level in a political race, with some Russians. Now, of course, Hillary and Obama have thousands of times the contacts. But that doesn't matter, because the MSM is basically the audiovisual department for the Democratic Party and for the globalist. But the big thing they're doing, even if they can't remove Trump, because national polls show only 6% of Americans think the Russia thing is real. It's totally fallen on its face. But the real issue is it allows the shadow government to keep its people organized as if they're the real government opposing an outside government of Russia. That gives them what they believe their internal cover. Now, that's one part of it. The other part of the equation is, even though they can't remove Trump with this fraud, it allows them to introduce the idea that he's still illegitimate. And then here's the big one. And people really need to understand this. They want to set it up where any contact by the executive branch with Russia, any contact with the Russians, public meetings, private meetings, diplomatic meetings, is dirty, is evil, is suspect, is espionage. And the big example of that is the 2 days of the G20 meeting, more than four meals they had, on the last night of the conference at a public event with all the diplomatic staff there and the leaders of 20 countries, the G20 set it up where Melania, the first lady, was sitting with Putin. And they had a Japanese translator between them who could speak English. And you can see photos of the meetings. There'd be two world leaders sitting together, a world leader's wife or husband sitting next to a world leader, and then one translator sitting right behind them, basically translating for the two. And the G20 put Melania with Putin. Obviously a wise choice, because it causes discussions and debates. The two can both communicate with each other. And then during the three-hour dinner, Trump comes over and talks to him for a few minutes. Totally, completely normal. But CNN turns that into something dirty, and then Trump comes out and says, there's nothing sinister about this. This is normal activity. And CNN goes, yeah, it would be normal activity, except you're under investigation. So it's the deep state, it's the loser bureaucracy throwing absolutely massive fits in everybody's face. And it just shows how they're going to take anything he does. Just like when the Russian ambassador a few months ago had the first meeting with Trump in the White House, and they went in a closed door meeting, which is normal, and they acted like that was somehow dirty, and then he gave them national security secrets and told them, I'm worried about laptop bombs. Remember that? 2 months before, it was in the news that Trump was worried about laptop bombs because ISIS and Al-Qaeda was learning how to do that. And there'd been there have been alerts on the news. But this is how they take everything and misrepresent it. It's like when a nuclear sub came calling in South Korea, and Trump said publicly, we've got nukes, we've got subs, we've got aircraft carriers, North Korea better watch it, a normal show of force, Pentagon advised. They turned that into a conversation with a Philippine president that he told him, we've got nuke subs, and that, quote, he told him where the location was. Our Navy showed the sub docking there as a show of force. But this is how they play on public ignorance. This is how they're creating this new political correctness, where the talking point from Howard Stern, from hosts on CNN, from MSNBC, from Congressman Quigley of Illinois, is you don't talk to Russians. The new saying is, quote, you don't talk to a Russian who's in the Russian government. You don't talk to a Russian who's an American. You don't talk to a Russian on the phone. Talking to Russians is espionage. That's a quote by Bear, formerly the CIA, on CNN. That's a quote by Quigley on MSNBC. That's a quote by Nancy Pelosi. That's a quote by Maxine Waters. And I heard Howard Stern 2 days ago. I was flipping through the dial. He's talking about Don King and Donald Trump. And he said, you don't take a phone call from Russians. You don't talk to them. And Robin goes, that's right. You don't talk to Russians. They're our enemy. And that's the new talking point as well, is that all Russians are our enemy and we are at war with Russia. The Vanity Fair reporters out there saying it. They're all saying it. The Esquire reporter, so-called reporter, The failed Keith Olbermann is saying Russian scum. We're at war with Russian scum. No, we have globalists that have hijacked our country, that are allied with radical Islam, and that are bringing it in. You know, they put out that super deluxe video that's got like 15 million views now, top video online in the last 4 days. And in the super deluxe video, from excerpts from like 6 months ago, I say, oh, we love our Somalis. Oh, we love our Muslims too. Oh, they're so good. Oh, they're so sweet. And then the police chief says, you know, they're perfect. The police chief saying this guy that shot the woman, unarmed woman, who's a Somali cop, is oh so good, oh so sweet. And the Washington Post is actually saying we're worried about Islamophobia and he's the victim, not the dead woman. And there's more cases of Somalis attacking folks, walking their dogs, stabbing people, screaming Allah Akbar, and the media's making it up. So it just shows how I made a joke 6 months ago how they cover up for radical Islamic terror, particularly Somalis, that they're bringing in mass. And then right as the video comes out, there's a whole spat, or whole spate, a whole raft, a whole rash, a whole new group of, you know, Islamic terror and Islamic attacks and Islamic bizarreness from the Somalis. So this is the craziness that's going on. It just shows how we're so on target, and that's why the globalists hate us and why they're after us and why the ADL calls us extremist and racist and Nazis and all this crap, because they are the people supporting real Nazis and giving awards to real Nazis like George Soros. But they want to hype up their crazed masses of liberal brainwashed fascist to go out and shoot people like we saw with Congressman Scalise. We've had the Southern Poverty Law Center, their own supporters go out and shoot people and say they go to churches and shoot people because of the stuff they read from the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's the left saying hashtag hunt Republicans. It's the left calling for violence. It's George Soros funding the groups that are out killing cops. This is so sick. We have to come together against globalism and what it's allied with, radical Islam. So back to the live transmission with David Knight, Owen Schroyer, and more. I'll be back in later today live as well, taking care of some stuff this morning for the family. And then I'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, 11 a.m. Central with the weekday transmission this coming Thursday. But for this live Wednesday edition, folks, think about how crazy it's gotten, how desperate. They want to paralyze our president. They admit they're doing this by saying any contact with Russians is treason. When the president is the president, a separate branch of government, he could go meet for 5 days in closed doors, like Reagan and people did with Gorbachev, if he wanted to. He could do whatever he wanted. But the idea that he can't, at a state dinner where you're supposed to talk to people, go over and talk to Putin, who his wife is seated with via the G20, just shows how dumb they think you are. But the good news is no one's buying it. No one's buying that Islam's the religion of peace. No one's buying this isn't an invasion. No one's buying fighting an uphill battle against globalists, but still doing a great job. Ron Paul was on yesterday and said Trump's doing a great job, but fighting an uphill battle back against the wall, but that globalism is collapsing. See, they can try to destroy me or Trump or Ron Paul or Drudge or other leaders in the movement. They can't stop all of you. So they want to make examples out of us so other people won't stand up. The truth is our tide of liberty is coming in. Their tide's going out. But let MSM know what a joke they are, and CNN know, and talk radio know how crazy this is, that a state dinner, our president isn't supposed to talk to Putin like he's evil and he's bad. What a mind game. President Trump needs to travel to Reykjavik and repeat what Reagan and Gorbachev did for, say, a 3-day summit with Putin. And he should call out and say, they've tried to create dirt here. They tried to paralyze me. They tried to tell me, don't be associated with Putin. They tried to tell me, I can't even talk to him at a state dinner when we're two superpowers with nuclear weapons that need to work together and have a lot of economic future together, and they're becoming Christian and free market, something we ought to get back to. He ought to go and openly have an alliance with Russia for free market, an alliance against radical Islam, and an alliance against cultural Marxism, which Russia's fighting, and ought to have a huge summit and throw the gauntlet down in front of all of these trash. And let these garbage globalists know that they're not going to intimidate people with their alliance with Islam and their alliance with communism and communist China and their alliance with the corrupt globalist-controlled Vatican. That's what America and Russia is fighting. We've got to come together. And the globalists are scared of that alliance. The Pope is scared of that alliance because it's the right alliance to make and complete Russia's journey towards freedom and have us get back to freedom as well. That's the bottom line. That shows how crazy these scumbags are, that they think they can mind control you to where our president isn't even allowed to have dinner with people in public. It's a load of bull. Infowars.com/show. Back to Owen Schroyer and David Knight.
All right, and that's Alex Jones, and I'm David Knight with Owen Schroyer on this Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. We're going to talk about what actually happened at that meeting, but we're also going to talk about a meeting that the mainstream media doesn't want to talk about. And that was where Bill Clinton got $500,000 to talk to Russians. He gave a speech. They gave him $500,000. We know this from WikiLeaks, and the mainstream media does not want to talk about that. And at the same time, then Hillary Clinton's State Department started pushing to repeal the Magnitsky Act, which is what Natalia Veselnitskaya was here to lobby everybody for. So we're going to talk about the real story behind all this. But real quickly, I want to let you know about our summer mega specials that are going to be ending soon. We have free shipping, of course, store-wide. That's throughout the month of July at InfoWarsStore.com. We also have Super Male Vitality and Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine. Those specials are ending today. So take a look at those. They are discounted 30% off right now, but those specials for those two items will be ending today. And we also have Caveman that is back in stock, 25% off, along with a lot of other of our most popular products. We have InfoWars Select Storable Food, 30 to 40% off. And again, free shipping, not only for the storable food, but for everything store-wide at InfoWars.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this narrative that they're creating. And as I said at the top of the hour, what we're seeing here really kind of reminds me of 1001 Tales of Scheherazade, where she kept coming up with a new story every day to preserve her life. And that's what the Democrats are trying to do. They don't want us to see their collusion. We're going to talk about the U.S. Postal Service, but of course, 1001 Nights, that gives them about 3 years. That kind of brings us up to the next election cycle. I think it's really what they want to do. All right, we're going to be right back. Owen Schroyer, David Knight, stay with us.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
Well, as you were saying, David, the Democrats have to make up a new angle, a new story. It seems like every week, every month, to try to continue this narrative that Russia is meddling, that Trump is colluding with Russia. And the reason why they have to keep doing that is because it keeps falling on deaf ears. It keeps lacking the ability to hold water. And it's amazing because there's only one story that we've stuck to, David. We've stuck to the same story. That's Bill Clinton getting paid $500,000 for a speech yeah. and Hillary Clinton making a deal with Uranium One for, what was it, 20% of our uranium?
Yeah, that's right.
So we've stuck to that story for years. That's not a new thing that we've been claiming. That's a story we've been reporting on for years. That's the same story that we're going to report on today because it holds water. But here's the thing, though. I don't think the Democrats have anything else. I think that this is it. They've spent their wad. They've played every hand. The Don Jr. Meeting didn't take how they thought it would take.
And well, they drug that out every day. They said, oh, wait a minute. I think we've decided that there's somebody else that was at that meeting. But I think the key thing that we look at is when we look at this Bill Clinton meeting is we see that there's a couple of things going on. Number one, it's interesting to see all of the elements that they're complaining about Donald Trump Jr. in. All these elements are present in the Bill Clinton story. The same lawyer from Russia, the Magnitsky Act, and the lobbying and so forth, and except that there's something else going on here. $500,000 payoff and actually doing something about it. When they were approached, when Don Trump Jr. was approached, he said, no thanks, and they walked off. Not the Clintons. The Clintons took the cash. The Clintons performed for them, but they don't care about that. Let's play this clip we've got from Fox News that Bill Clinton made $500,000 for a speech in Russia. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
All right, as the media continues to attack the president's son and his meetings with the Russian attorney, a leaked email from Hillary Clinton's campaign may bear new significance in exposing potential Russian ties to Democrats. The email sent by a Clinton spokesperson says this: with the help of the research team, we killed a Bloomberg story trying to link HRC, Hillary Rodham Clinton's opposition to the Magnitsky bill, to a $500,000 speech that Bill Clinton gave in Moscow. Here to react, Judicial Watch's Tom Fitton. Tom, now we all know the Magnitsky bill. What's the significance of this story being killed by Bloomberg?
Well, that Bloomberg story and the date of that email is shortly after the New York Times piece exposing the connections between all this Russia connected money, $145 million generally, $500,000 specifically to Bill Clinton from a Russian-connected firm that was pushing Uranium One. And evidently someone in the media not only connected it to Uranium One, but saw other Russian interests being advanced by Mrs. Clinton, such as this really hardcore opposition to any new sanctions against Russia over its alleged murder of a human rights-related lawyer.
So that's the key thing, is that they actually did this stuff, and then they project it, they try to hang it on Trump, they accuse him of doing what they actually did, even though Donald Trump Jr. did not do that. And I just want to repeat what he said there. He said, with the help of a research team, we killed a Bloomberg story trying to link HRC's opposition to the Magnitsky bill, a $500,000 speech that William Jefferson Clinton gave in Moscow. That's coming from one of the WikiLeaks. That was from Jesse Lerich on the Rapid Response Communications Team for Hillary for America. So they're bragging about the fact that they were able to kill a Bloomberg story that exposed this pay for play that the Clintons were involved in. And then they turn around and they create a story and put it on. They bury the story with the help of the mainstream media. And then the mainstream media comes back and fabricates the bones of that story and puts it onto the Trump administration. Amazing, isn't it? What you can do when you've got the government colluding, the press colluding with the Clintons. They can do all kinds of stuff, can't they?
Yeah, and what you really have here is the Clintons, the Democrats colluding with media. I mean, that's the real collusion.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we cover all of this stuff, David, I mean, this is not new to us. You know, most of our audience probably knows this already, except for maybe perhaps new listeners. So the question that I have when we cover this stuff, will this wake people up? Will people see the clear double standard in mainstream media coverage of this, where they say, Trump Russia, Trump Russia, Trump Russia, but then completely ignore the Clinton Russia connection, which is so far and beyond any Trump Russia collusion. It's not even funny. And the irony to me is how they want to continue to build up this Don Jr. meeting. They want to continue to try to force that up as something. Meanwhile, Trump literally just met with Putin. Okay. I mean, literally the president of the United States met with the president of Russia, but it's regular. That's how it works. This is politics. This is geopolitical speaking. And they don't report on that. Just go back to Don Jr.
And we're going to talk about this fake secret meeting that happened with all the leaders of the G20 in the same room. We're going to talk about the details of that when we come back.
This just in, David Knight, Nolan Schroyer have a secret meeting on air at InfoWars right now.
You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here with Owen Schroyer. Thank you for joining our secret private meeting, because it's about as secret and private as the secret meeting that Donald Trump had with Vladimir Putin, as Owen was saying before we went to the break. I want to give you some details, and let me lay these out here, Owen, and I'll get your comment on it. This is what Breitbart has. This is a White House statement, and the White House broke down what actually happened at the dinner. This was put out by the press. They said this meeting occurred during dinner for heads of state and their spouses. It supposedly raised eyebrows. That's what the mainstream media said. This raised eyebrows. It was a secret meeting. While all these other G20 leaders were at the dinner. And then they said this broke national security protocol because there was no U.S. translator present. Okay, really? We're going to talk about that. And let's give you the details as the White House laid this out. They said, first of all, there was a concert for everybody at the Hamburg New Opera House. They said then Chancellor Merkel hosted a dinner for the leaders and spouses only. And the German government set the seating arrangement. They said the concert and dinner were publicly announced, both the president's schedule and the G20 schedule. A clear understanding, all visiting leaders would be present at this secret meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. President Trump was seated between Mrs. Abe, wife of Prime Minister of Japan, and Mrs. Macri, wife of the President of Argentina. Mrs. Trump was seated next to President Putin. During the course of the dinner, all the leaders circulated throughout the room. They spoke with one another freely. President Trump spoke with many leaders during the course of the evening. As the dinner was concluding, President Trump went over to Mrs. Trump, and he briefly spoke to President Putin. Remember, Mrs. Trump was seated next to President Putin by Chancellor Merkel. They set up the seating arrangements. They say each. Now, here's the issue about the supposed breaking of protocol by not having an American translator present.
Wait, did you say she set up the seating arrangements?
Yeah, it was a setup by Merkel. Right, yeah. Sure. Each couple was allowed one translator. The American translator accompanying President Trump spoke Japanese. Why would that be? Well, it's because he was sitting next to the Japanese prime minister's wife. So they gave him a Japanese translator. And each couple was allowed one translator. Big mystery here. And so this was all put out by Ian Bremmer. He's a critic of Trump, and he was pushing this story with Charlie Rose. And this has become the latest narrative in the 1001 Tales of Russian intrigue. Alexpionage, I guess, is what we really ought to call this. It just never ends. It's absolutely amazing. We got CNN quoting Senator Chris Coons, Democrat of Delaware, who, citing no law, no regulation, strongly implied the president of the United States is not allowed to speak to other world leaders after dinner. This is reported by Breitbart. He called the meeting, quote, a basic failure in terms of national security protocol. Because Trump didn't bring a second translator with him when he spoke to Putin. And remember, I just told you, each couple was allowed one translator. Trump had a Japanese translator because he was sitting next to the wife of the Japanese president. So that's the big mystery, folks. That is the nothing burger. You know, where's the beef? As the old lady used to say. There is no beef, except that they're trying to hide their crimes. As we said before, the real crime here that they were focused on all last week, and now they're moving on to the supposed secret meeting. The big crime with Donald Trump Jr. was not a crime. There wasn't any collusion. There wasn't any cash. There wasn't any corruption. That all happened with the Clintons. Whenever you want to see collusion, cash, and corruption, look for Clintons. And there we have it. We have Bill Clinton making $500,000, speaking to the Russians, and then Hillary pushing back for the very same thing that Natalia Veselnitskaya was pushing for, and that is to eliminate the Magnitsky Act. And he was congratulated personally by President Putin. So there you go. And as the spokesperson for the White House, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, daughter of Mike Huckabee, said, these are the people, if you want to talk about having a relationship with Russia, talk about the Clintons. And then Governor Huckabee, who was in Russia, said, I think the Russians want their money back. They didn't get anything, so they're trying to get something from the Trumps. They didn't get that. And so then the press, working with the Clintons, projects all of this stuff onto Trump because they never talked about it. It came out in WikiLeaks that they were working to shut down any narrative, and they successfully shut down anybody talking about this pay for play with Bill Clinton and the Russians and the Magnitsky Act. They completely shut that down.
Well, and the more that comes out with this story and the connections between Clinton and the Magnitsky Act, the more I'm starting to wonder if it wasn't Hillary Clinton that was using Veselnitskaya. That's kind of what it.
Yes,
what
yes,
actually
yes.
It seems to me what it may have been the case here. But we'll
and we talked about that before. The fact that she was connected to all these people who had Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele, all these people who had. And I said, to me, it looked like the third strike from this same crew that first came out after Carter Page. Then they came out with a dirty dossier and they got John McCain to shop that around to the FBI and others. And then this is basically the third strike from this crew, from the Democrats working with CrowdStrike, Fusion GPS, Christopher Steele, and all these people to try to take down the Trumps. And they know what they can use. It's just amazing that they take their stuff and they project it onto other people.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see what develops here because, again, they're not going to stop this. And I think the one question that needs to be answered here, that remains to be answered, that will blow a hole in this entire thing is, how was Veselnitskaya able to be in America? Who signed the documents?
That's right.
There has to be paperwork. Yes. Why was she here? What was her reasoning? That's what the people need to know, and that might start answering questions. Meanwhile, she just seems to be kind of floating in a cyclone of news right now.
There was already a big relationship with them because remember the speech that Bill Clinton got was back in 2015, May of 2015. So she was well known to the Clintons. Maybe she carried the cash for them and said, "Hey, there's something else you can do for us besides the $500,000."
And beyond just the Clintons and the Democrats wanting to distract from their crimes and their collusion. They also want to try this whole attack on Trump is obviously an attack on Trump to try to delegitimize his presidency. But it's also attack on we the people. It's attack on the people that elected Trump. And here's the key to me, David. When we wake up every day and they've got they're trying to force some new angle of this Trump-Russian collusion, or you wake up today, the 2018 budget resolution markup is still going on, David. I mean, we got to be pushing 5+ hours now. You couldn't find 10 minutes of content in there of people that are actually making sense. None of it makes any sense. And so I'm just sitting here, I'm just thinking to myself, this all of this going on is only going to amplify the anger that Americans expressed in the 2016 presidential election. See, you've got the left that's angry and they go out in the streets. They don't have any ideas of their own. They don't have any intellect. So they go out on the streets, they protest, they yell, they burn, they scream, they break things. They assault people. The right goes to the ballot and says, President Trump wants our agenda. President Trump is angry with the status quo in America. We're going to elect President Trump. Well, now we have to wake up and we see the fake news media pushing Trump Russia, new angle every day. We have to wake up and we have to listen to 5+ hours of a bunch of politicians on the floor of the Hill today trying to figure out what to do about the budget. Hey guys, we're $20 trillion in debt. There's not much you can do with the budget. It's screwed, but they're trying to figure out how they can spend more and then fix the budget. It doesn't make any sense. So this is just going to anger the American voter base more. And I think that in the long run, the left and the right, I thought it's weird, David, and maybe you can share your thoughts on this. It looks like the left and the right was going further apart. And you could see it in the streets. You could see it in the media, the left and the right going further apart. Okay, civil war going on, civil war in the media. I think if they continue to push the Trump-Russia thing like they are, if they continue to not be effective in Congress, that's only going to bring the left and the right together. I actually think this will bring the left and the right together because guess what? The people that voted for Trump are sick of it too. We don't like Obamacare. Yeah. We don't want government-run healthcare ruining healthcare. We don't want some Senate, you know, budget committee meeting going on for 5 hours that can't even accomplish a damn thing. We're all sick of this. So I think the anger is actually going to end up melding together if they continue to push the same things. It's not going to work. They can't divide us on this Russia thing anymore. It's totally failed. They can't divide us on Obamacare anymore. It's totally failed.
Well, you look at two polls that have come out recently. We've had a poll that came out not long ago saying the majority of Democrats feel that the Democrat Party has no agenda. All they want to do is talk about Russia. Then the poll that came out today that says that only 6% of the people care about Russia. So that's all they recognize. That's all that they want to talk about is something that only 6% of the people even care about or see as an issue.
Oh, but here's the poll that matters, though, David. See, this is what they do. A poll came out today. Let me try to find this poll. And it talks about Wall Street. This is from Bloomberg. Wall Street effort to improve its image failed to sway Americans. So they talk about this poll. Most people do not like billionaires. Let me find the exact number. Less than a third of those asked say they don't trust billionaires. So you know what? Politicians know that. That's why they go out on the floor of this 2018 budget hearing and say the millionaires and billionaires, the millionaires and billionaires, the 1%, the rich, taking from the poor, giving to the rich. They know that most of America has been victimized by this class welfare, that making money and being rich has been bastardized in this country. So they go out there and they just spew that rhetoric all day long, not because of real statistics that actually might help this country, help the economy, help make America great again, but because they know that the propaganda has made the voter base hate rich people. So they go out there and they spew class warfare all day long in order to win a vote. It's really sad.
Let's go back to when they were creating Obamacare, because at that point, actually when Barack Obama was running for office, he says, I'm not going to raise taxes on anybody making $250,000 or less. Remember that? And that was part of this millionaires and billionaires, the politics of envy. That's the politics of the left. And people don't like millionaires and billionaires. They probably don't know any millionaires or billionaires, but they don't like them because they've got something that they don't have. So it's the politics of envy. The idea that you're going to get something from the government and somebody else is going to pay for it, right? But that wasn't what happened with Obamacare, was it? We had taxes enacted on people making less than that. And if you take a look, for example, at the Tesla automobiles, okay, the average net worth of the person who buys a Tesla automobile, which is typically over 100 grand, except for this new model that's just come out that they haven't started selling. But up to this point, the average net worth of the person has been over $250,000. The people that Obama said were rich, they've been getting massive subsidies on every Tesla automobile because of the green credits. And that's been coming from you when you buy your cars, because those tax subsidies, those credits that are being given to Tesla for the electric cars that they sell, are coming from the internal combustion cars that you can afford to buy. That's the bait and switch. And still, Tesla doesn't make any money. But let's talk about how the Washington establishment is, and everybody across the bureaucracy is allied against Trump. I mean, first of all, we see this. Susan Rice has now said, no, I'm going to postpone my testimony. Maybe someday she'll talk to people about the laws that she violated. We know from the FISA court that we had the NSA and the FBI violating the law, violating the prohibitions that were put there as part of the FISA Act, saying you're not going to unmask Americans when you start surveilling people abroad. You're going to be allowed to listen to the conversations of foreigners in foreign countries. But if it's somebody in America, even if it's a foreigner, you have to get a search warrant. And especially true if it's an American in America, you have to get a search warrant. But of course, it was Michael Flynn who was illegally leaked to the Washington Post, and Susan Rice was involved in that. She originally said she knew nothing about that, but now we're finding out that she does. But we can't get her to testify because that's not going to be allowed. She's privileged. And then, of course, we have Andrew McCabe. We have now learned had a personal vendetta against Michael Flynn because Michael Flynn was supporting someone who had come up with an EEOC complaint against Andrew McCabe, the guy who is now the acting FBI director. So there's all this corruption on the law enforcement side. And of course, our attorney general can't be bothered with that. He's going to be bothered with trying to establish broader rules of confiscation and theft. And we'll talk about that later in the broadcast. Attorney General Sessions had another press conference this morning talking about how he wanted to expand civil asset forfeiture. There's nothing civil about it. There's nothing legal about it. It is outright theft to fund law enforcement. That's what is at the bottom of civil asset forfeiture. But real quickly, I want to tell people about something we haven't covered before. This is something that broke about a week ago. People started talking about the U.S. Postal Service. It's not just the NSA and the FBI and the intelligence community that was campaigning for Hillary Clinton. No, we had the post office that was campaigning for Hillary Clinton in violation of the Hatch Act we find today. And that's an update to the story. But let's go back to the 14th, because there's a very good story from the American Mirror where they talked about the actual cost that was involved here. And what was happening was you had postal workers allowed to take unpaid leave for political purposes. Now, they were not being paid to work on the Hillary Clinton campaign, but they go to work for Hillary Clinton. This is coordinated by the postal union. And then as that is happening, so many of them left that the U.S. Postal Service incurred massive overtime charges to try to replace them and keep the service going. All of this for somebody who doesn't even use snail mail. Hillary Clinton loves email, as we all know, right? Thousands, tens of thousands of emails that we can't see.
All kinds of servers.
Yeah, exactly. So here's what the American Mirror said. They said, and this is from the U.S. Postal Service's Office of Inspector General. This is what the Inspector General of the Post Office said. He said the impact on local delivery routes and applicable facilities of 97 union-identified carriers who took leave without pay in support of union political activities and how these carriers were paid. They found a sampling of carriers in all seven Postal Service areas. They found that from September to November 2016, when the election was going on, that they took off time ranging from 4 to 50 days to campaign with the union for Hillary Clinton. And they said that 78% of the facilities were in six political battleground states. So they picked strategic areas. They took a massive number of postal workers who coordinated with the postal union to campaign for Hillary Clinton. And they said it's the equivalent of 8.86 years of work that these people did. Now, that 8.86 years of work, they had to bring people in and pay them overtime. Overtime for that. And so today we have the breaking story from Fox News. U.S. Postal Service broke the law in allowing workers to boost the Clinton campaign, says a watchdog agency. This watchdog agency is the Office of Special Counsel. So first we had the Inspector General of the Post Office point this out. Now we have the Office of Special Counsel. This is a report that came out. They said the U.S. Postal Service, quote, engaged in systemic violations of the Hatch Act. What is the Hatch Act? The Hatch Act prohibits federal employees from campaigning for somebody. And that's precisely what happened here. Why do they say this? Well, they say the Postal Service showed a bias favoring the union's 2016 campaign operation. They say they incurred unnecessary overtime costs, paying 8.86 years of overtime, and improperly coordinated with the National Association of Letter Carriers Union when it released members for several weeks of union official leave without pay to participate in the Hillary Clinton campaign. That's the deep state. Those are the people who are allied with Hillary Clinton along with the press. They create the narrative and they do everything they can against Trump.
So wait a second. Did Obama not violate the Hatch Act? Did Obama not break the law when he campaigned for Hillary Clinton and flew around on United States dollars and traveled on United States dollars?
Well, there's an exception for the president, but they're talking about people who are law enforcement, people who actually are paid by the federal government like postal workers. The political class can do what they want. We'll be right back.
Above the law, huh?
Alex Jones, The Cure to Fake News, coming to you live from Austin, Texas.
Well, the post office violated the Hatch Act when they spent over 8 years of labor wages on trying to win the election for Hillary Clinton. Still lost. Isn't that just sad? Well, folks, if you want to win, go to InfoWarsStore.com because we've got a 360 win for you there right now. We've got all kinds of specials going on. Super Male Vitality and Survival Shield X2 are both on sale, but they're ending today. Those sales end today, 30% off. Super Male Vitality and Survival Shield X2 ends today. This is a product that is very popular. We're running low on stock. So if you want to take advantage of that special, or if you're running low on Super Male Vitality or Survival Shield X2, be sure to get to InfoWarsStore.com today. Get that product. Caveman, back in stock, 25% off. A product that literally sells off the shelves. We bring it to you at 25% off. Who else does that? DNA Force, also back, 20% off. And this is the big one. Free shipping store-wide. Doesn't matter how many products you order. Doesn't matter how big the products are. Our emergency foods supplies are very heavy products. Even those, free shipping. You can save a ton of money right now on free shipping, especially when you consider our InfoWars Life Select storable food. Over 20 years on the shelf for the lifespan of that emergency food. So take advantage of the summer mega specials ending soon at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping store-wide, Super Male Vitality and Survival Shield X2 will be ending today, the specials on those, and they're in low supply. So be sure to take advantage of that special. All right. Well, the Republicans aren't taking advantage of the advantageous odds that they have in Congress and failed to repeal Obamacare despite, well, 7 years to figure out just how to do that if we just gave them the presidency. Couldn't figure it out, and they're, well, taking a page out of the Democrats' handbook and playing the blame game. Here's a clip from that.
Last night, we learned that the Senate still doesn't have consensus on a bill to repeal and replace Obamacare at the same time. President Trump and I fully support the majority leader's decision to move forward with a bill that just repeals Obamacare and gives Congress time, as the president said, to work on a new health care plan that will start with a clean slate. Congress needs to step up. Congress needs to do their job, and Congress needs to do their job now.
We've done this in the House. We passed our simultaneous repeal and replace bill. We think that's the solution. We think that's the best way to go. And so we're just going to have to wait and hope that our friends in the Senate can figure out how they can get a bill passed, get into conference or whatever, and get something passed.
I regret that the effort to repeal and immediately replace the failures of Obamacare will not be successful. That doesn't mean we should give up.
Mitch McConnell sucks.
In the coming days, the Senate will take up and vote on
I would be booing. See, this is why I can't go into politics. I'd literally be on just booing him right now. Hissing.
As we work towards
you suck, Mitch. You suck.
Healthcare.
Sorry. David, here's what's amazing to me. There were really two things that were on the floor today. You had replace Obamacare, which you and I would both say, no, we don't want a replacement. We don't want the government involved. Then you had the repeal vote. And they both went different ways. The no votes both went different ways. And you can see where the swamp really lies in the Republican Party on the voting results. But it's just amazing to me, David, why won't Republicans vote to repeal? They'll all admit how bad this bill is, but they don't vote to repeal.
They want a wedge issue. They want a wedge issue, something that they can take to the voters. And that's the way they've been using this. They never had a plan. We had some market reforms offered by President Trump when he was campaigning, but the GOP never had a plan. They just said, we're going to get rid of it. And we had a vote before, and we had senators who voted to repeal it before now say, I'm not going to vote to repeal it because it would actually get repealed. You know, Obama said, if you like your health insurance, you can keep your insurance. Well, the GOP is saying to the insurance companies, if you like your Obamacare insurance companies, you can keep your Obamacare. We'll be right back.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm here with Owen Schroyer. We're going to have Mike Cernovich in the next segment with us. I want to talk quickly about what's going on with Obamacare. And, of course, Mitch McConnell has said that they are going to have a vote, even though we've already had three senators come out and say, on the Republican side, come out and say that they're not going to vote for a straight-up repeal. And two of those senators have already voted for the exact same thing, a straight-up repeal, back in 2015 when they knew it wasn't going to happen with Obama and it was safe. They could play both sides of the fence. They could tell the Republican voters, hey, you know, we're for repealing Obamacare, but then they knew it really wasn't going to happen. You have to understand that this is being done for the insurance companies. Rand Paul understands that. He said that back in, they used to make $6 billion a year, the insurance companies. He says now they're up to $15 billion a year in profit. He knows precisely what this is. We had Paul Ryan as the vice presidential running mate of Mitt Romney, a guy who had put through RomneyCare, which is basically the same as Obamacare. They're identical. He did that in Massachusetts with Ted Kennedy. And so it was a given that the establishment was going to get, for the insurance companies, they were going to get Obamacare. And then in return, they were going to get control over our health care. And that's one of the key things when we look at the Republican plans. They were going to retain this health czar that we have, the HHS secretary that's going to be controlling our health care from Washington. That's no solution, folks. To give the government more control and to leave that control in the hands of a health czar is not a solution. But you have to understand that this is nothing other than crony capitalism. Let's listen to Rand Paul talking about this and what may be ahead in terms of a repeal vote that is coming up.
What I'm calling a victory is not the defeat of the plan. What I'm calling a victory is that we will get to vote on a clean repeal. I've been advocating that we repeal Obamacare, all of it, and we're at least going to get a vote on a partial repeal, and that is a victory because I wasn't in favor of an insurance company bailout. The previous bill had about $180 billion to give to insurance companies. Look, insurance companies have gotten rich on Obamacare. They used to make $6 billion a year in profit. They're now up to $15 billion a year in profit. We shouldn't be giving any taxpayer money to insurance companies. So I objected to that, but I'm actually in favor of and will vote to go to the clean repeal that's being proposed now.
Okay, so that vote is going to be coming up according to McConnell, even though they've had three senators say they're not going to support this and that'd be enough to tank it if three Republicans jump ship. McConnell says they're still going to go on record. They're going to have a vote on that repeal bill early next week, according to Mitch McConnell. Now, those senators who have said that they're not going to support it, we have Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. They were throwing all kinds of money at her. Remember, we talked about all the pork that was being embedded in this and how they still had hundreds of millions of dollars more money that they could hand out as special favors to senators. One of the key senators that was getting a lot of money was Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. She had voted for repeal before, but now she's not voting for repeal. And then there was the West Virginia senator, Shelley Moore Capito, West Virginia. She is the Rockefeller replacement. She says, I'm not going to hurt the American people. I didn't come to Washington to hurt the American people. No, she went to Washington to make money for the insurance companies and the bankers, just like the Rockefellers were there in Washington to do that. Meanwhile, we've got Senate Republicans now saying, I think we're going to do a bipartisan healthcare talks with the Democrats. See, they didn't want to get rid of Obamacare. That's the key thing, isn't it, Owen?
Well, and I'm starting to think that the only person that should be allowed to talk about this and do any work in this is Rand Paul. He's the only one that makes any sense. He, as far as I can tell, he's the only one that has any experience in the field. There might be somebody else with some experience in the healthcare field, but he obviously is one of the only ones with that experience, plus his father. You consider that too.
Yeah, they're both doctors.
Yeah, so
and they both are libertarians.
But nobody wants to hear from them. Nobody wants to hear from them. But, you know, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm betting you that within the next year, the Democrats don't call it Obamacare. I bet you that the Democrats want to separate that name and Obama and that legacy from this healthcare bill that is collapsing. I'm making that prediction right now because it's totally failed. They can't deny it anymore. They want to separate Obama from this failed bill.
And that's the danger if they do any kind of little rearranging of the deck chairs on this Titanic. They're going to pin that, whatever it is that they do, they're going to say that's why it failed, that house of cards. We'll be right back. Mike Cernovich.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
You know, David, it's amazing to me. I've only been following politics, doing political news for 5 years. So really, I'm really still pretty young to this, still pretty new to this. This is the first election I've ever really covered and everything. David, it's just amazing to me how, you know, it's like I debate, are people in media that ignorant or are they that corrupt? Do they really just want to sell you a bill of goods?
Corrupt.
And I'm just sitting here and I'm looking at, we're about to play this clip of, we're going to have Mike Cernovich joining us here momentarily once we get him connected on Skype. We're going to play this clip of Donald Trump talking about letting it fail. But it's just amazing to me. Again, David, you know, I consider myself pretty new to this. I've only been covering this stuff for 5 years. And I'm sitting back looking at my coverage. I'm like, you know, it can't be that easy. It can't be that basic. Like, really? Like, that's what I'm saying. When me and you came on here and when the Republicans were celebrating passing this healthcare bill in the House, me and you were scoffing. We were laughing. It was like, this isn't going anywhere. This isn't passing the Senate. Why are we celebrating this?
Yeah.
But the mainstream news doesn't understand it. The Republicans don't understand it. It's just crazy.
Well, their job used to be much, much easier because there used to not be an InfoWars or an alternative to what they were telling you. And so it was very easy for them to bury the story, as we just saw with the memo. They said, you know, we had Bill Clinton go make this speech in Russia for $500 million. And then we did some things for them with the Magnitsky Act. And then we got the press to bury that for us. That used to happen all the time. And we didn't have a WikiLeaks to expose it. And we didn't have an InfoWars to talk about the WikiLeaks exposure.
Oh,
and so that's the difference.
That.
It's gotten a great deal more difficult for them. That's why they're trying to control the internet, trying to shut down free speech.
How dare you, David? Well, you know, here's the clip of Trump saying, let the Obamacare bill fail, and then we're going to pick up Mike Cernovich. Maybe we should let the media fail too. Maybe we should do the same thing with the media. Here's that clip of Trump.
We've had a lot of victories, but we haven't had a victory on health care. We're disappointed. I am very disappointed because, again, even as a civilian, for 7 years I've been hearing about health care, and I've been hearing about repeal and replace, and Obamacare is a total disaster. Some states had over a 200% increase. A 200% increase in their premiums.
Can't afford it.
And then
not the Affordable Care Act. Can't afford it.
It's an absolute disaster.
Hurts the poor people.
And I think you'll also agree that I've been saying for a long time, let Obamacare fail, and then everybody's going to have to come together.
He has been saying that.
And come up with a new plan, and a plan that's really good for the people with much lower premiums, much lower costs, and much better protection. I've been saying that, Mike, I think you'll agree, for a long time. Let Obamacare fail. It'll be a lot easier. And I think we're probably in that position where we'll just let Obamacare fail. We're not going to own it. I'm not going to own it. I can tell you the Republicans are not going to own it.
Well, the Republicans should own it. I do disagree with Trump on that.
The Democrats are going to come to us and they're going to say, how do we fix it? How do we fix it? Or how do we come up with a new plan?
Republicans don't get to escape any blame in this. I do disagree with Trump on that. But before we bring Cernovich on, David, isn't it incredible? I'm telling you, there is no other walk of life. There is no other industry, no other marketplace, nothing, nowhere where you can have these two phenomena happening at the same time. You have a government that is sitting here talking about being $20 trillion in debt, talking about raising the budget. That would not exist or happen in any other sector of life. You also have
raising the debt ceiling. Yeah, let's just go further in.
While we're in debt.
Yeah.
And then you've also got this. Well, this is a disaster. This is going to fail. This is going to implode. So let's just let it.
Yeah.
Again, no other industry, no other sector do you have those phenomenons happening. And yet this is our government, an absolute disaster. All right. With that, we bring in Mike Cernovich. Now, Mike, we're going to take the conversation in a different direction here. You have been targeted now by the ADL, along with some like 20 or 30 other people. Obviously, all, you know, people would consider these people conservatives or alt-right or whatever it is. You can see there Mike Cernovich, Gavin McGinnis on the list as well. Some other people you've probably heard of. But when you woke up and you saw your name on this list, Mike, I saw you tweeting out that they're basically trying to raise hate against you and your family. What were your thoughts when you saw your name on this ADL list?
Yeah, so I'm actually on vacation, enjoying myself, spending time with my wife and my seven-month-old daughter, my dog. We're at a vineyard, actually, enjoying, you know, some of great Paso Robles wine. And as we're relaxing, I get messages from people saying, well, the ADL, you know, they added you on a hit list and they're trying to get you murdered. And I go, well, okay, I guess I can take a break from vacation for this. And then I looked, and that is exactly what the ADL is doing. They created a list of these people that they don't like. They say where we live. And wink, wink, nod, nod, maybe they'll have a Congressman Scalise-type situation, a shooting event happen, and they'll say, oh, it's not our fault.
Yeah, and I actually wanted to talk about a tweet that you made, a poll. Should I release a list of 36 journalists who are harming America? Now, I'm in the blatant minority here. I voted no, other reasons. I just think that this just gives them another reason to want to attack you, another reason to say that you're this you know, white supremacist or, you know, bigot or whatever. I was shocked when most people voted yes. But of course, I mean, fight fire with fire, I guess, is the concept there. But, you know, I just think that just fuels the hatred and the infighting and everything more.
Well, the problem is that they're ratcheting up the ADL and these left-wing terrorist organizations. By using that kind of rhetoric, they're ratcheting things up, and they don't understand that if anything happens to me, I have a list. They have no idea that this is a really bad thing that they're doing, and that if harm befalls me or my family or people like Alex Jones, InfoWars, and other people, that people will be blamed for that. And what the ADL doing is a very bad thing. It's a very immoral thing. But what they don't understand is actually a very dangerous thing for them to do, because if something does happen to me, then the people who like me and love me are going to go and say, wow, the ADL had him murdered, and that's who will be blamed for anything that happens. So I disavow all political violence. I disavow what the ADL has done. Alex Jones and I tried to get Megyn Kelly and Jake Tapper to join our pledge to disavow political violence, but they're actually laughing about this. So the New York Times, that Medium article that they just had up from my medium.com page, the New York Times is actually laughing about the terrorist threats that we're facing. Josh from Talking Points Memo thinks it's funny. All these people think it's funny. We're added to target list. So I like your principles, Owen, and the idea that if I made a hate list of these people, then, you know, is that playing by their rules? My followers want me to create a list of actually ADL donors. So I'm thinking
now that actually makes sense.
I think you need to change the name of them, because they're not the Anti-Defamation League. They're pro-defamation. What they're doing to you is defamation by definition. And so I think that's the first thing that I noticed with this. The other thing, Mike, is that they created a list conflating what they call the alt-right with the alt-light. And they said, well, okay, these people that we're going to put in the alt-light, we're going to say they're not white supremacists, but they don't agree with political correctness. So we're going to lump them together with the white supremacists and so forth. We're going to conflate those two groups together, and then we're going to put them out and create a defamation list so that people can take action and give the address. I think that's the key thing, putting the address there, because we've had Southern Poverty Law Center attack Alex and InfoWars in the past a number of times, and saying we're a hate group and so forth and so on because we don't agree with their politics. They haven't published addresses of people so that some crazy person could take action. That's unprecedented.
Yeah, well, what they did actually by including me, Milo, Gavin, Jack Posobiec, I believe is on there. The whole list is absurd, and that the people that make the list of these movement leaders, I'd never even heard of these people, and I'm pretty deep into the subculture. I was like, wait, I don't even know who the hell.
No, actually, that's a great point that you bring up, because when I was I was reading the list as well, like you said, I'd never heard of most of these people. I guess they're just people on Twitter, or I don't even know where they really exist. They run their own blogs. And there's another kind of side story here, too. The alt-right was something that developed, if I recall, around May 2016 is when the alt-right kind of started to get a foot, started people really talking about it. And then it became a thing around July. And I just remember, I wasn't with InfoWars at the time. I just remember people started saying, I'm alt-right. You're in the alt-right. You're a member of the alt-right. Oh, thanks for being in the alt-right. I never claimed I was in the alt-right. I never invented the alt-right. I don't care about the alt-right. Honestly, I'm not in the alt-right. In fact, I'll even say I disavow the alt-right. I don't care about the alt-right. It's all these little titles that they want to put us into groups, like David was saying, so they can conflate something that one person says and then say, oh, Mike Cernovich said that. Oh, Owen Schroyer said that. Oh, Jack Posobiec said that. So the alt-right? No. I'm a member of the real right, as in I'm real and I'm normally right. What do you think about that?
That's a clever way of putting it. I love that. Right. I've said that I'm not alt-right. I'm not any of these labels. I'm a filmmaker. I'm an author. My book, Guerrilla Mindset, was just Amazon Kindle's deal of the day because it sells better than the 99% of books on Amazon. I have a Kickstarter going on right now for a film that's raised over $115,000 in just over a week. I'm probably going to raise $250,000 total. I break news like the Susan Rice unmasking scandal. I do journalism with you and David and the InfoWars people. So I'm not the leader of a love group. I'm not the leader of a hate group or love group. I'm not leading any group. I'm a producer, author, filmmaker, journalist, not some kind of group leader, whatever that means. If they put me
on— Oh my God, wait, you're actually independent? You're not beholden to anyone? Oh my God, shut him down.
Yeah, I mean, they don't know what to do with me. If they had made a list of people in media who are a threat to the establishment and are feared by the deep state and that the CIA is going after, well, then they could add me to that list.
I think that's exactly what the ADL really just did. And then they threw in a bunch of people that nobody's ever heard of to try to bring you down with them.
Yeah. So, when you guys were scrolling down that list, I was like, I don't even know who, I only recognize one name out of there. I didn't even know who the other, you scroll down, I saw four names. I recognize one name. Who are these people?
Yeah. Well, they're just, again, they're doing exactly what David was describing. They're trying to create this hate group and then classify everyone as inside the hate group so they can just call you racist, bigoted, whatever, identity politics insult that they want to throw at you. We'll be right back with Mike Cernovich talking about the ADL hate list and more on the other side. They're trying to do everything they can to try to discredit Trump supporters, folks.
Come, you masters of war. Hear the bell. The big guns.
Owen Schroyer, David Knight here, filling in on the Alex Jones Show. We are currently joined by Mike Cernovich, who's now been targeted by the ADL. This 2018 budget resolution markup is still going on. If I was still listening, I might, my head might explode. I mean, you want to talk about alternative facts and alternative realities. It's incredible that you literally have two different realities being pushed at this government hearing. It really just tells you the state of the times. Anyway, back to Mike Cernovich here. Let's close out real quickly on the ADL list. What has been the response from people on your side of things, people you're talking to? What are you thinking right now will be your response? In general, what are your thoughts on this ADL list?
Well, the list, as I lead in, I wanted to kill as many people as possible, is a quote from Floyd Lee Corkins, who went in to do a mass shooting at the Family Research Council because the Southern Poverty Law Center had added the Family Research Council to a hit list. Now, I find it fascinating that if I sneeze in the wrong direction, the media would call that me inciting, terrorism or inciting toxic gas or something. But that Floyd Lee Corkins connection to the Southern Poverty Law Center, most people, even well-informed people, don't even know because the media covered it up, didn't want to cover it. They didn't demand that the SPLC disavow. They didn't demand that people who backed them up disavow. So the ADL, without question, is attempting to incite terrorism against its political opponents. That cannot be denied. The New York Times endorses terrorism. That cannot be denied. I will say a couple things.
Well, yeah, it was the New York Times that printed the story that James Hodgkinson probably read and then went to D.C.
And let me say this, Mike, when you contrast that and you say if you were to do that, Think about the outrage from the mainstream media when Trump merely retweeted a comedy meme about a wrestling thing that somebody had put the CNN label there. And that's why we had the contest here at InfoWars to get back in their face. I mean, that was how hypersensitive they are to anything like that. And yet, here's a situation where they put you out there. They conflate you with hard racist white supremacist
total
groups,
standard,
and then put your information out there. That's the defamation league that's doing that.
Right. The flip side to that, though, is it was a bad move on their part. If I had been advising them, if anybody with brains had been advising, they would say, wait a minute, you're putting on Posobiec and Gavin and Milo and Cernovich and half these people, nobody's ever even heard of these other people. This is a dumb list. It's going to be bad PR. So the sentiment has been, other than people at the fake news media like the New York Times and other terrorists on the media, sentiment is 90% negative against the ADL. This was a big mistake they made. It is a matter of ethics and morality.
Yeah, the ADL is basically like the ACLU at this point, just totally anti-American. And one of our great producers back here pointed out that most of the people on that list are actually Richard Spencer affiliates with his website. So, okay, now it starts to make more sense what they're trying to do here. I want to quickly talk about another story that I know you're aware of. David's aware of this as well. Project Debug in Fresno. Now, this is amazing to me. You're talking about in Fresno, California, Google Alphabet is about to release, I think it's 20 million. 20 million bacteria-filled buzzing mosquitoes, basically GMO mosquitoes, if you will, to put a layman term to it. And apparently they're going to mate with other mosquitoes, lay eggs that can't hatch or can't have a child or can't have a baby mosquito. And this is going to help things. This is going to make things better.
You know, Google and Bill Gates seem to love mosquitoes. I guess they have an affinity for blood-sucking parasites.
When Bill Gates sent those mosquitoes down to Brazil, there were no negative side effects in Brazil. That didn't happen, no.
That's right.
Yeah, I actually tweeted out Black Mirror is real because as much as I hate to give Netflix, an SJW company, my $8 a month, there was a special, an episode on Black Mirror.
That's a great series, though. That's a great series.
Yeah, where the bees were drones. So we can see that we're actually headed to the Black Mirror is actually everybody should watch it to understand what the elite are actually thinking and planning.
It's real.
I think one of the key things about this is different from what we've seen in the past. In the past, what they've done is they have sterilized mosquitoes using radiation or something like that, and then released those sterile mosquitoes so that when they mated, there would be no offspring. But what they're doing this time that's different is they're putting a bacteria into these mosquitoes, and that bacteria then is going to spread, and that bacteria is going to cause infertility. Now, wouldn't it be easy for them to create a bacteria that causes infertility with humans? Isn't that something that somebody like Bill Gates would want to do?
That doesn't happen, David.
Yeah. That's just a conspiracy theorist to me.
That's the whole thing. It's like a sci-fi novel.
Yeah.
And that's the direction we're pushing. Before long, they'll have mosquito drones. And then once they have mosquito drones, they'll have a surveillance army. It's all, like I said, that episode on Black Mirror where they have the bees who, you know, the bees are dying. They create drone bees and everything.
See, this is why I get so frustrated. Here we are talking about this stuff that's actually going on, affects the entire planet. And you've got Democrats and liberals that literally wake up every day and they can't get Trump off of the end of their tongue. They can't get Trump off of their mind. They're obsessing with Trump.
Russia.
Meanwhile, you've got chemtrails. CNN will report on the chemtrails that they're testing out on the East Coast, and they have to get rid of all the boats because when the chemicals land, they're going to affect the people at the bottom of the surface.
Alex Jones.
Trump Russia. More on Trump Russia when we come back. Trump Russia.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
David Knight here with Owen Schroyer on this Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. I want to thank you for funding this operation, and it is your purchasing of the products that we have that funds us, that makes this possible. We couldn't do this without you. It gives us our financial independence so that we can be a free speech independent organization from the mainstream media. We don't get any kind of funding as we see the Republicans pushing to continue funding NPR and all these other media outlets. We don't get government funding. We don't get funding from Soros or others. We get funding from you, our listeners, and we try to offer you the very best quality products as we do this. As a matter of fact, and I'll just mention this briefly, yesterday there was an article in the Drudge Report talking about a toxic chemical, one of the chemicals that they believe is one of the most carcinogenic chemicals on Earth that is endemic in the California water supply. About 1 million people are suffering from this. This is something that was put there by Dow Chemical and by Shell Chemical. I looked that up to see if our water filter takes it out. It takes out 99.4% of that, like it takes out 99.4+% of most of the harmful contaminants that you find in your product. So as we've got people there who are trying to fight to get Dow and Shell to clean up this toxic waste that they created and then put in the environment, that may or may not happen. But you can take a proactive stance against this and protect yourself about this before somebody figures out what's going on, just like in Flint, Michigan. There are people who are severely damaged, children who are severely damaged by the lead in the water before they ever realized that that was the case. You can proactively protect yourself about against that with the water filters that we sell. So that's just a simple thing. That's one of the first products that we sold here at InfoWars. But we've got a lot of products that help you to proactively take care of your health. And we had this July 4th special that Alice has extended through the entire month of July. Our summer mega specials are going to be ending very soon. And two of those specials will be ending today. The 30% off of Super Male Vitality and the 30% off Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine. Those are both ending today. So make sure you take advantage of that. Now, we still have free shipping, and that's going to be going through the end of the month. And we also have a lot of other things that are still going to remain on special. We've got Caveman that's been out of stock. That is now back in stock and 25% off. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula, is now back and 25% off. DNA Force is back and 20% off. And that is a very expensive supplement for us to make. And so it's an expensive supplement for you to buy. 20% is a big savings on that. If you want to talk about big savings, look at our InfoWars Select Storable Food. 30 to 40% off the cost of the food plus free shipping. Massive savings for something that is that expensive and heavy to ship. So take a look at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, free shipping store-wide. We have the sale on Super Male Vitality and Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine. Those are both ending today. They're 30% off, so take advantage of that before they go off sale because our quantities are running very low on that. We have to take set aside a certain number of these so that people who sign up for auto ship, we make sure that we can fulfill those. And again, if you want to make sure you never run out of anything, you can sign up for auto ship, 10% off. And if your order is more than $50, you can get free shipping off that. That's what we do to try to, it actually helps us to know what demand is going to be. So we pass some of that savings along to you. It's a win-win situation. As Alex says, it's a 360 win. That's what we try to do here. All right, and we're talking about winning. We're going to talk about what's going on with immigration because we do have some wins there. But first, let's take a look at this failure of Obamacare. And of course, people are not really blaming Trump. They're blaming these senators, many of them who had voted in 2015, for a straight-up repeal are now changing their votes. It's still going to come up for a vote at the beginning of next week. I talked about this last night. I think we need a new hashtag, though, and I think we should call it fake GOP. You know, we got fake news. I think it should be fake GOP. But let's move on to tax reform, because that is a big issue. We've had a lot of very positive movement since Trump got elected. A lot of people are very optimistic and positive. We had even Mark Zuckerberg go to North Dakota, and he says, wow, I kind of figured out why these people voted for Trump. Obama was shutting down their industry, and Trump brought it back, and he opened up the pipeline, and these people are having parades down Main Street because they could go there and make good money in an entire industry that Obama and Hillary Clinton wanted to shut down, and that's the same as it is with the coal industry. But if we don't deliver on tax cuts, this whole thing is going to come down. So I want to play a clip from Gingrich, and we'll get your comment on this on the other side of this, Owen. This is Newt Gingrich. And he says, if we don't boost the economy with a very large tax cut, we're going to be looking at a Speaker Nancy Pelosi coming up after the next election. Here's what Newt Gingrich had to say.
Do we represent prosperity, economic growth, higher take-home pay, more jobs, or not? Trump, you just had him, the president, a minute ago talking about what he wants to do to make America great again. I think that he's in the right general direction. I personally believe they ought to do as much as they can on health care right now, but they shouldn't spend the whole rest of this year on one issue. They have also got to pass, I think, by Thanksgiving and get signed into law by Thanksgiving, a very large tax cut, retroactively designed back to January 1, to make sure that we have enough economic growth in 2018 that Republicans can run as the party of prosperity, of jobs, of higher take-home pay, and of economic growth. And I would say the highest focus ought to be on getting the tax bill through, because if we don't have economic growth next year, I think we're in real danger of having Speaker Nancy Pelosi in 2019. If we do get enough economic growth, I think, frankly, we'll probably get reelected.
This is about power, because if you talk about tax reform, you talk about money. Where is the money going to go? Well, are you going to keep your money? Are you going to have the power to spend? Are you going to have the power of purse? Or are you going to give that to the government? That's what this comes down to for me. The more tax we give the government, the more power, the more say the government has on our lives. The more money we get to keep for ourselves, the more freedom, the more independence, the more power we have internally to decide our own fate. And that's something to me that, for whatever reason, just befuddles the left. They can't understand it. They think it's all about righteousness and virtue. No, that's not how tax works. Look at where your tax dollars go, you morons. But you talk about the fake GOP, David. I think, you know, maybe intentionally, maybe not. What's happening here is voters now have a clear picture of where Republicans stand. Are you behind cutting taxes? Are you behind repealing Obamacare? No? Well, then I'm not going to vote for you again. I think that's the future we're seeing in 2018. The Republicans still don't live in this reality. They still don't understand how they're going to lose votes in upcoming elections because of this. They don't understand the Trump effect. And there's another thing going on with this too, David. I mean, these liberals are, there's an episode of South Park where people in San Francisco fart and then they sniff their own farts and they get high off of it. That's a joke become true. That's what liberals are now. I'm going to give healthcare to everyone. Obamacare, Affordable Care Act. No, that's actually crap that you're smelling. You're actually smelling getting high off crap. And that's what's being proven with Obamacare. So I think that we have an interesting opportunity, if the trend continues, to separate real conservatives and people who want American prosperity versus fake conservatives and people who want the government to prosper, David.
Well, you know, you're talking about the Trump effect, and this is something that we saw. The Trump effect actually began. Donald Trump hit the ground running, if you remember, unprecedented. I've never seen a president do this before in my life. Getting on the phone immediately after he's elected, throughout the Thanksgiving holiday, and he's calling up CEOs of large corporations and saying, look, we're going to change things. We're going to give you incentives to employ people in America. We're going to give you disincentives to build your products abroad and to bring them in. So we want you to, you know that and make some plans accordingly. And as a result of that, we've had, since the election, as Donald Trump said, we've had Ford, Fiat, Chrysler, General Motors, Sprint, SoftBank, Lockheed, Intel, Walmart, many others have announced that they're going to invest in America. But that optimism is not going to continue, and these investments are not going to continue if you don't make it real. These are expectations, and we need to deliver on those expectations. So Gingrich is right. If they don't deliver on this with real tax cuts and the things that have already been promised to people to create jobs here, it's going to start collapsing, and then their political majority is going to collapse. And I think we need, when we look at tax reform, and we look at tax cuts, those are absolutely essential. I think that's the right thing to do. However, we need to also look at the other side of this, and that is the spending. And we just had a situation where, you remember, Donald Trump, and a lot of us criticized this, the fact that the White House went to increase the defense spending by $50 billion. To put that in perspective, Russia's entire budget is $65 billion. The House, in their passing of the NDAA, said, no, we're going to up that to $80 billion. So again, Russia's the big boogeyman of the week, or the year, I guess we should say. Russia has a defense budget of $65 billion. We're going to increase ours by $80 billion. So that's the key thing that we're looking at here. Can we control our spending? Because if we can't, the deficit is going to continue to increase. We just had a record $400 $1 billion that was a monthly spending. I don't know if it's billion or million. You know what? It really doesn't matter anymore, does it? Can you distinguish between a billion or a million? As Everett Dirksen said, you know, a billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon it adds up to real money.
It's all just numbers now.
Record spending of 400 something gazillion, okay, this last month. They keep spending, even though they have record tax receipts, they keep exceeding it by the money that they're spending. And the defense budget is just part of that. So if they don't get that under control, we're still going to tank economically. But it is important for us to get this thing going. Just think of it as a shot of adrenaline to somebody who is dying on the ground. You got to get that going. And then you can address the underlying health issues. The underlying health issues are really about the out of control spending. But it's necessary. And as I said before, the GOP is really betting the house on tax reform. If they don't get this stuff through, they ain't gonna last.
Well, and when you talk about watching these 2018 budget thing, which is still going on, they're not going to figure anything out. They're still not going to understand more debt equals more deficit or vice versa. But there's a story in Zero Hedge yesterday that really paints a clear picture of what exactly is wrong and why we've ended up in so much debt and how the welfare state really works. Guess what happens in states where food stamp recipients have to work? You see, in the state of Alabama in 2017, they required able-bodied adults with children in 13 counties to either find a job or participate in work training as a condition for continuing to receive the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP benefits, aka food stamps. You know what happened, David? You know what happened when Alabama implemented that?
I can guess.
The number of recipients went from 5,538 to 831 in the span of 5 months. An 85% drop. Folks, these are people who are sucking off the system. These are the people that are causing us to go $20 trillion in debt. And when the Democrats and the liberals and the virtue signalers out there saying, we just want to be good, we just want to take care of people. No, you're getting suckered. You're getting conned. People are taking advantage of us. There's a reason why we're $20 trillion in debt, because nobody is holding the people accountable who have put us in this hole.
We talk about the importance of policy, just as you talked about. They change and they put in work requirements for welfare, and all of a sudden we see this drastic reduction, so it's down by 90% or whatever.
These people don't want to work, David.
Yeah. Well, you see the same thing type of thing happening with our immigration policy. We have had a drop of 70% by illegal border crossings, and we have had the number of arrests in the country increase by 40%. That's a change in policy. And as we look at this, there's a story that's coming out of Austin, because remember, Austin is right here where we live, is one of the strongest sanctuary cities, thanks to our new sheriff, Hernandez, that got elected. And we had an interesting story come up in the last couple of days. Basically, her office let loose a guy that was a documented gang member who had been previously deported 4 times. They did this, they released him, even though they arrested him in June, they released him without allowing ICE to detain him. This is the ICE agents filed a detainer request for this 33-year-old who's, again, he's been deported 4 times, he's a known gang member, but our sheriff here, Sally Hernandez, has a policy on detainees. She says she will only reply with certain requests for certain circumstances for certain crimes. When she first did this, she had 3 crimes. And then somebody pointed out, well, wait a minute, you've got this guy that's an illegal alien and he's got multiple sexual assaults and that's not on your list. Oh, okay, well, we'll add that to it. So as a result of that, we had the state government here in Texas, Governor Abbott and others, they made that illegal under state law SB4 to do that sort of thing. And I guess when we look at this, Owen, it's kind of like aiding and abetting a fugitive. Or helping somebody break out of jail. Why isn't that a crime? Well, it should be a crime. And some of these things have been made a crime. Now, in her defense, they came back and they said, well, we let ICE know 6 hours ahead of time that we were going to release him. And yet, ICE had put in a request back in June that he be given to them. So they washed their hands of it and said, well, we told you, and then we let him out.
No. David, why are you looking at the fruits of my policy? Why are you looking at the results of my policy? You need to look at me. I'm a good person.
Yeah.
I care about these people.
Virtue signaling.
Don't point out the fact that Medicaid fraud and Medicare fraud is rampant. Don't point out the fact that people just don't want to work. And when you ask them to get a job to receive welfare, they just quit and drop out of the system altogether.
Yeah.
I care about these people.
That's right.
How dare you point out to me the negative impact of my policies? How dare you, David Knight? How dare you?
Well, this guy had been convicted of a weapons theft. And again, as I point out, he has been deported four times.
I don't care if he got deported four times, David. I care about these people. I want everybody to come here. I don't care if they murder and rape people. Look at me. I had a liberal policy. Well, your liberal policy caused a bunch of people to get raped. Why are you talking about the results of my policies, David? I'm sick of this. Talk about me. I'm a good liberal.
That's right. And anybody that opposes sending away or imprisoning gang members, deporting gang members, you're racist. And of course, we saw this in California. As soon as Donald Trump was elected, we had liberals in California say, hide those lists of gang members because we don't want Trump to deport them.
Oh, yeah. I love how they report, people freaking out because ICE officer shows up at church. People freaking out. ICE officer shows up at home. Why are they freaking out? Are they here legally? They must have broken the law then. Yeah, if I break the law and a police officer's right behind me, I'm going to be freaking out.
We have the acting director of ICE saying, in the America that I grew up in, cities did not shield people who violated the law. He said that it's not okay to violate the laws of this country anymore, and you're going to be held accountable. And again, they pointed out 70% decrease in illegal border crossings, a 40% increase of arrests inside the country. And he said the 30-year immigration agency veteran, this is the guy who is the acting director of ICE, says that he's gotten a green light from the Trump administration to hire 10,000 new immigration agents, and they're going to send them to sanctuary cities like New York City, San Francisco, Chicago, and they mention our own hometown here, Austin, because of our sheriff, Sally Hernandez. Absolutely amazing that they would have this guy, a convicted criminal, a known gang member who's been deported four times. They tell ICE's, they tell ICE about it 6 weeks ahead of time. And then, ICE says, we want to have this guy. Don't let him loose. And then they give ICE 6 hours notification and then let him go.
No, it's about policy, not results, David. It's about liberal virtue signaling policies, not results.
All right. Stay with us when we come back. We've got more news. I think it's kind of interesting that we've got this little baby in England, Charlie Gard. He's being treated worse than a dog. And I mean that literally. We're going to tell you about that when we come back.
You found it. The tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with David Knight.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight with Owen Schroyer. I've got some amazing information and update on this baby that is dying in the UK. People want to offer him free, offer him health care in the United States. And of course, they've had a crowdsource funding. They've collected over £1.5 million. Now, that's maybe, I don't know what the exchange rate is. Maybe that's about $2 million to make that happen. But they're still fighting that. Meanwhile, we got a dog who has been brought to the United States with no problem whatsoever to get a special operation. But before we get into that, Owen, tell us what we've got going with these specials. We've got a couple of items that are going to be ending today.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of these specials. Super Male Vitality and Survival Shield X2 specials, 30% off, ends today. So if you want to take advantage of 30% off Super Male Vitality, 30% off Survival Shield X2, take advantage of those specials today with free shipping because they will not be available tomorrow. So again, 30% off Super Male Vitality, 30% off Survival Shield X2. You can combine that with 30% off. How about the ProPure G2.0 Traveler Water Filtration, also 30% off with free shipping, folks. Huge savings, a total win at InfoWarsStore.com right now. And you know, David, it's amazing. I want to pitch this story back to you about Charlie Gard with a tweet that just came out from Luis Mensch. Look at this tweet, David, and this just shows you the hypocrisy and double standard of these people. I can't even believe that somebody would have the nerve to tweet. Luis Mensch tweets, my sources say the death penalty for espionage being considered for Stephen Bannon. What? So hold on a second. First of all, I don't even really tweet at Luis Mensch. I don't know if I ever have tweeted. She's blocked me, so apparently she knows who I am. She blocks me. I don't even respond to her on Twitter. But anyway, David, she's talking about the death penalty for Steve Bannon for espionage. Yeah. You've got a literal story where they're actually giving the death penalty to an infant because he's in, well, I guess, government-run healthcare. But no, it's death care. Even though people want to care for them in America, they won't let it happen. So Louis Mensch says, oh, it's going to be the death penalty for Steve Bannon. The real death penalty is when you sign up for government-run healthcare.
Yeah, let's talk about the death panels, because that's what's happening with this little 11-month-old baby. And that's why this is an important issue for us to pay attention to in America. We've already seen a judge in the United States essentially kill Terry Schiavo, even though she had parents who wanted to take care of her, who said she was responsive. Her husband wanted her to be killed. And so we had a judge who cooperated with that, along with Governor Bush, Jeb, and President W. Bush at the same time. But I saw this article on the Drudge Report today. Headline that this dog came to America for health care. And I thought, wow, here we've got a little baby and he's not treated as well as a dog. And so this is a story coming out of Chicago. The finest breed, a University of Illinois vet fixes a Thai dog's heart. I thought they ate dogs in Thailand. Maybe that's just China. I don't know. Anyway, back home in Thailand, Nana was barking on borrowed time. Now, after traveling thousands of miles to Urbana, Illinois, and undergoing surgery to correct a congenital defect in her heart, the 3-year-old Chihuahua has a new chance to live a normal lifetime, said her veterinarians at the University of Illinois. Meanwhile, what's going on in the UK? We've got Charlie Gard has been given legal permanent residence in the U.S. by Congress so he can fly to the United States to get treatment. We've got a hospital that says we have a new experimental treatment for this terminally ill patient. We have a doctor who says, I've looked at his records. I believe that he has anywhere from a 10 to 50% chance of improvement. But the doctors won't let him go. And so this doctor goes to the UK, spent 5.5 hours trying to convince these mandarins who want to preside over the death of this child to allow him to come to the United States. It's no skin off of their neck, but it is a big deal for the authority of these people, for their reputation, and for the authority of the government there. Because what's involved here, and I've reported on this before, is the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. Remember those protesters that were there outside the Trump White House? We'll be right back with Leanne McAdoo.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
You know, here's the story about Charlie Gard, folks, that needs to be hammered home. And you would assume that even the most simple-minded person could understand this. What's happening right now, the dynamic that's happening, is that Charlie Gard is government property.
That's right.
Because the government has decided to take control of healthcare, that makes anybody who wants healthcare government property. And this is what people in America need to wake up and realize. You scratch your head, you ask yourself, why can't the parents send him to America? Why can't the parents get him treatment? Why don't the parents have control over the destiny of their own child? You know why? Because that child is a slave to the government. And that's exactly why we're against Obamacare. That's exactly why we don't want to replace Obamacare. We want to repeal it. So if you want to know the truth about Charlie Gard, if you want to know the harsh reality of the situation, Charlie Gard is a slave to the government, and the government has decided it's time for Charlie Gard to die. That's what government-run healthcare gets you, folks. That's the result of single-payer healthcare.
That's right. He's their cattle, and they will decide what's going to happen to him. And listen, understand that we already have this to some degree in the United States. In the case of Charlie Gard, we had these people who had created an experimental treatment that they wanted to try on this child. And it's such a rare condition that they will never have the clinical trials that will make it through the bureaucracies of the United States or the UK. It's such a rare condition. They'll never be able to have these clinical trials. So the only way that you can do this is to say, well, we're going to allow this treatment to happen because the patient is terminal otherwise. But we already have the FDA telling terminal patients in the United States, no, you can't take that. You can't take that chance on it. Why not? It's our lives. No, it's not. We belong to them. It's only going to get worse, however, if the government takes over our health care. And in the case of what's going on in the United Kingdom, understand that what's at the center of this is the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. And Owen, when we were covering the Bilderberg meeting in Washington, there was that Trump rally that was at the White House. And as part of the, when we were there covering the Trump rally, they had a small group of people, if you remember, it was some middle school girls with their teachers, and they showed up with megaphones screaming about this very treaty. And I reported on this 8 years ago. I did some commercials for an organization that was fighting it. And I knew exactly what this thing was because I'd seen it before, but I hadn't heard about it for 8 years. And then Charlie Gard comes up, and the people at this hospital are saying, a world in which the parents are the only ones to decide what's going to happen to their child is not the world in which our hospital operates. And they're exactly right. So they have a couple of different issues here. They have a big reputation for being a pediatric hospital. It would be an embarrassment for them if this child were taken somewhere else and cured, wouldn't it? But it's also a big issue for the legal system, because if it's only the hospital concerned about the reputation, you could have a judge say, well, why not let this child have a chance at life? But it's also about the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. Every country in the world, except for the United States and Somalia, have joined on to this convention. And this convention, we're not a part of this, thanks to the efforts of conservatives, of Christians, of homeschoolers who said, you're not going to take my child and make him the property of the state. And if you want to know what this looks like, take a look at Charlie Gard, because they're saying, you are parents, you can express your opinion, but we don't really care what your opinion is.
And you know what's amazing, too? They would rather, and you just illustrated this, they would rather have Charlie Gard die.
Yes.
They would rather this child die than save his life, because it's all about power. Yes. It's all about being in control. And it's not about them being embarrassed if he was to go somewhere else, receive health care, and actually live a full life. So that's the truth of this. And you know what I've decided, David? I've been calling it monopoly care. You know what it really is? It's slave care. You know who else got free health care? Slaves. Okay. Right. So this is slave care. That's what this is. They want to be in total control of you. And then when you get sick and helpless, they want you to be 100% relying on the government. This is nothing more than a power grab. And you can look no farther than the Charlie Gard case to see the truth about government healthcare.
And we got people who have the mentality of slaves. They want to be kept safe and secure and provided for. And they don't care about freedom. They don't want the responsibility or the danger that comes with freedom. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Leanne McAdoo will be joining us.
You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Owen Schroyer.
Owen Schroyer, David Knight with you here on the Alex Jones Show. We are about to be joined by Leanne McAdoo. And we're going to talk about this story. Steve Watson on Infowars.com. Video, CNN talking head disowns Trump as POTUS. He's not my president. This is a... Angela Rye. Nobody would be surprised about that. And I made this, I'm serious about this illustration, and I'd like to hear Leanne McAdoo's thoughts on this. They'll say I'm promoting violence against women probably for this. I'm dead serious. I want this to be made up as a graphic. You take liberals like Angela Rye and create some sort of thing that has a tube that goes from their butt, and then they have a helmet on, and then all of it goes straight to their head. So they're literally just sitting in here in a helmet of their own pew and getting high off of it. That's Angela Rye. That is literally a definition of Angela Rye. See, even though President Trump is her president, that's just a fact. She doesn't want to live in reality, because all day long she craps out, Trump, not my president. Trump, not my president. So this is what I was saying earlier to David, and I want to get Leanne's take on this. People like Angela Rye, people like the Democrats, want you to completely ignore the facts of the results of their policies. They want you to ignore what happens with their policies, ignores what happened with open borders, ignores what happens with the PC culture, ignore what happened with Obamacare, ignore that, ignore that, ignore that, and just focus on them. Focus on their virtue. Focus how they care so much. Just look at how virtuous I am. I'm Angela Rye. I'm standing up for the little guy. I'm standing up for virtue. No, you're getting high off of your own pew. That's what you're doing. And that's not just Angela Rye. We got a video of him. But Leanne, I'm just curious. Am I promoting violence against women by wanting that illustration up? I probably am. The ADL probably needs to come after me.
Well, I think whoever makes that illustration should take it a step further and just kind of make it the delusional leftist more of a human centipede, since they are sort of sharing a hive mind there. So they're sort of...
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like one person craps it out and then the other one ingests it and then they crap it out and then the other one ingests it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's very sick, but this is just kind of getting into that delusion. Trump is your president. He's my president. He's the president of the United States of America. How can they have these people on CNN talking like this? It's ridiculous.
Just imagine. I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to get humorous here for a second. I'm sorry. Just imagine Hillary Clinton literally defecates, a nice steaming pile of defecation, and then you have CNN and Angela Rye all running up to it, sniffing around. Hello, Russian collusion here. That's the illustration. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting out of control here, Leanne.
Well, you know, and that's just what it is. And the American people are absolutely sick of it. Don't we have this? Just 6% of Americans say this Russia story is important. More people want to talk about healthcare. They want to talk about jobs. Yet CNN and these others, they're rolling out these people to continue on with the delusion that the American people are sick of. We are not falling for the delusion or the pew fumes.
All right. So let's roll this video of Angela Rye on CNN denying reality.
Angela, is that the question? Did anything come to this meeting?
I think the question is, why did he have this meeting? And it's very clear from what's in the actual emails why he intended to have the meeting. I think the question goes to intent.
Oh,
and
get
I think
dirt on the opponent. Wow, nobody does that.
The Senate investigating as well as the House Committee investigating and, of course, the special prosecutor. I also would agree with Jack. I worked on the Homeland Security Committee. I know what the Secret Service mission and jurisdiction is, and it absolutely is the physical safety of the president and those immediately around him.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous for Jay Sekulow to bring it up.
It was horrible, and that's not the first ridiculous thing he said. He went into a press conference during the summer asking Russia to find the other 30,000 emails. There are a lot of things that your president has done to defy logic. Let's at least
You're president
that.
Too, Angela. You're
you know, I'm so sick of these people, David.
Trump's your president.
I'm dead serious. What can I do to get Angela Rye to debate me? I'll do 100 hours of community service. Like, seriously, this is just ridiculous. These people are so out of touch with reality. I can't deal with these people anymore.
Well, here's the thing I think is funny is that they're constantly trying to say with Trump and the things that he says, if you repeat a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. But this is exactly what we're seeing on the left. Russia collusion, not my president. I think if I say this long enough, it'll be true. But it's not true. The truth is Trump is your president.
David, have you ever seen this phenomenon of people just denying the president? Saying he's not the president?
I've seen children sitting on the floor saying, not listening, you know, put their hands over their ears. And that's basically what this is. It's childish. And it is, as I said before, it's another story every day. I mean, this ridiculous thing that came out about Steve Bannon is now facing the death penalty because of espionage.
It's just ridiculous.
They're throwing the treason charge around. And as I pointed out, there is no understanding or discussion of what the definition of treason is. We've got Alan Dershowitz making the rounds on all the conservative media because he's written a book on this. It's called Trumped Up. And he's saying, come on, let's not criminalize political opposition. I get it. You guys don't like Trump. And Alan Dershowitz says, I don't like him either. But what they did is doesn't rise to the level of a crime. Let's get reasonable about this. And let's not try to come up with trumped up charges. And so that's why he's going on all the conservative media talking about
this. But that's why I want this illustration. I mean, literally, a tube going to a helmet on. I mean, that's what it is. Well, why did Trump Jr. have the meeting? We need to know. Why was the Russian there? What is this meeting? Well, you know what? What are you talking about? Hillary Clinton made millions of dollars colluding with foreign nationals. I mean, this is a joke. David, I'm sorry. I'm getting out of control. It literally drives me insane that Angela Rye will come up here. Why is he having this meeting? Why did Hillary Clinton make a Uranium One deal? Why did Bill Clinton take $500,000 to give a speech? She doesn't even care about that, man. I'm sorry.
Why won't they talk about the fact that Democrats, of course, worked with the Ukrainian government to get dirt on their opposition or literally sending their aides to
They make up fake dossiers. These are the dirtiest, crookedest, biggest lying scum on the planet. And then Angela Rice says, Trump Jr. Just, David, take over. I'm seriously losing it.
Well, I'm not going to join you on the scatological memes here. I would say I'll go back to the one that I started out with, which looks to me like a tale of Scheherazade. 1,001 stories about Russia that's going to delay this for about 3 years so that they can try to keep the Trump administration from enacting any of their agenda. Trump needs to transcend these fake charges. He needs to take control of the agenda. He really should take control of this healthcare issue. He had a great set of proposals that he ran on. If you still find them, you go back to the Wayback Machine that's now down because the campaign site is down. But it was market reforms. Why not start enacting market reforms? I mean, that's the if they're going to do anything, that's what they should do. Just there's so many different things that could give us a free market. The free market has not failed. The free market in healthcare, we have failed to try to have that. We've had a third-party subsidized system that works to the benefit of the insurance companies that has been at the root cause of our massive runaway costs in healthcare. It's really been the insurance companies. As Rand Paul pointed out, they were making $6 billion a year. Now they're making $15 billion a year just a few years into Obamacare. That's what we need to look at. We need to have a complete restructure. We need to try free market. We need to try competition. We need to have empowered consumers who have information, who have the ability to fund this. That's really what we have to have. And the insurance companies don't want it. You can take a look at the Cruz Amendment, and you can see how vociferously they oppose the idea that even if they continue to give these loaded up insurance policies to people, they did not want to have the ability or have other competing insurance companies have the ability to offer policies that were not compliant with that, that didn't require single males to have maternity policies, that kind of nonsense. That's what the insurance companies want. That's why they've seen their profits soar under this. And that's why we're not going to get anything other than what the establishment Republicans like Paul Ryan want to give them. You know, he told the insurance companies, you like your Obamacare? You're going to keep your Obamacare. We're going to make sure that none of these reforms go through.
Well, I'm literally speechless at how dumb LiAngela Rai is. Go ahead, Leanne.
Well, I think, you know, the voters really need to push back against this and be absolutely pissed about the fact that we have our representatives taking 218 days off this year. Yep. First of all, we need to axe their vacation time that they're taking, because the simple fact that they've been talking about repealing Obamacare for years, that they don't have something ready to go, just fired, ready to go right now.
Oh, these Republicans are such a joke. They were all on the golf course this weekend playing golf, you know, drinking champagne and toasting to one another. These people are so Mitch McConnell's right. I mean, these people, that's why the midterms are so important to me and getting the right people in 2018. I mean, if you just think about the people that we could get rid of in 2018 and how much more efficiently our government could operate. You know, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, John McCain. And those are just on the Republican side. I'm not even getting into the Democrats like Maxine Waters, Elizabeth Warren, Chuck Schumer. One of the most disgusting people on earth. We need to get these people out.
And that's why we've had organizations saying we need to primary some of the GOP leaders. And we do have a primary challenge to Paul Ryan. We need to be paying attention to that one.
Paul Nehlen is going up against him.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. I agree. And we're definitely starting to see some pretty good contenders, because Trump can say he wants to get in and drain the swamp all he wants. But when you have these operatives in there who are constantly pushing back or disallowing him to appoint anyone to these high offices so he can move forward, those are the people we need to get out. They do not represent the interests of the American people, clearly, because they didn't have a plan ready and waiting to go when they have all of the power in their court right now. It's ridiculous.
7 years they've been campaigning on repealing and replacing Obamacare, planning on what to do. And then they had their chance. Bases loaded, down by 3 runs, bottom of the 9th, fastball right down the plate. All you got to do is swing and hit the home run and win the game. And you'll watch the strike go right down the plate and you're out. Great job, Republicans. Great job.
And then they're going to go, we did all we can. We've done what we could. You know, we had a lot of pushback and we tried to work together. And then that's it. Every single year, it's the same old thing. We did what we did our best. Our hands are tied. Okay, see you later. We're going to go take our summer recess. It's a joke. What a joke.
The Republicans are a joke. Our entire government's a joke. I can't even believe. I don't know.
Hashtag fake GOP.
Fake GOP, fake government. I mean, it's all fake.
Very fake.
Well, we're going to be back with Leanne, and it's going to be key in 2018 to realize what candidates we can get in that actually want to make America great again, not just promote lip service to the great citizens of this country. We'll be right back.
The tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with David Knight.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight with Owen Shore. Leanne McAdoo is joining us via Skype, and I want to ask Leanne on her take on Dennis Hastert, our illustrious Speaker of the House. As the judge said, the idea that we would mention child molester and Speaker of the House in referring to the same person is disgusting. And of course, that was really the basis for which he went to jail. He technically went to jail for money laundering, for withdrawing his own cash that was already legally in the bank and not telling the government, trying to structure his deposits. I mean, that is idiotic. And he says, I am a victim too in all of this. He doesn't deny that he victimized these young children. But the problem is that, first of all, if he says he wants to be a victim, he's been hoisted by his own petard. He's been blown up by his own bomb. He was the longest serving GOP Speaker of the House ever. He was handpicked by these people because he was blackmailable, because they knew he was a pedophile, folks. That's the reality of all of this.
And by the way, he actually got into government. I found this out the other day. He was third in a Republican primary. Originally, he was third. The guy who won the primary died.
Oh,
and then the Republicans chose him. That's how he got his break in politics.
Handpicked after a mysterious death. Very interesting. So he gets 15 months. If you look at his victims, it's only about 3 months per child that he victimized. He's got somebody else that's suing him as of May, the beginning of May. So he's got another lawsuit to look forward to. But he only serves 13 of a 15-month sentence. And, of course, the real issue here is why he didn't go to jail for pedophilia. Oh, it's because we have a statute of limitations. There isn't a statute of limitations anymore in Australia. It used to be a statute of limitations in Australia. They removed it because that doesn't work. It's usually children. They wait a very long time before they report that. They remove that statute of limitations. That's why you've got Cardinal Pell, the third highest ranking official in the Vatican, going back to Australia. They didn't extradite him, but he is voluntarily going back to face a trial. Leanne, your comments on what we see with this incredible corruption, the pedophiles at the top of our government, the GOP, the Vatican, the Catholics, and the fact that we have this guy, as Owen pointed out, handpicked after he lost the primary, came in third, and then they put him in place after the guy who won died.
It's just absolutely disgusting. And this is where you see these young children, victims of violence, they're re-victimized by the fact that their abusers get such light sentences, actually get off on good behavior, get out 2 months early. And then, of course, you know, Paul Ryan, back in 2015, he was quick to take down Dennis Hastert's photograph, but he didn't give back the $25,000+ in donations from Denny Hastert. So, I mean, they're all connected and above the law. It's really sickening to see that they are supported because maybe they are blackmailable, like you said.
Well, and that's the debate that I think we need to be having right now. Do we live in a land of laws or do we live in a land of justice? And this case shows you it's a land of laws. It's not about justice. It's not about the judge taking each case, applying it to the law, applying it to context, and deciding what justice is. No, it's about lawyers getting in there, rigging the law, figuring out how to pigeonhole a judge into forcing them to make a decision. This case should have been shut and closed. You sexually abused your foster. That was their Seattle mayor. Excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself talking about the Seattle mayor pedophile. Talking about Dennis Hastert. You were called a serial child molester by Judge Durkin, who sentenced you to 15 months. A serial child molester, the judge sentenced him to 15 months because of the law. That's not justice.
But he couldn't get him for a longer amount of time because you're talking about it, justice versus the law. The law has to be changed. The statute of limitations has to be taken off. We don't have a statute of limitations for murder. And this is a very, very serious crime. And this is a crime that is not going to be discovered in most cases until well after the statute of limitations has expired. And of course, it's the lawmakers who are setting up the statute of limitations. And lawmakers like the handpicked Dennis Hastert don't want to see that statute of limitations taken away.
No, it is absolutely sickening. I mean, where else do we have a statute of limitations? You know, I guess if you're Assad al-Shakur and you can be exiled, live in Cuba, you know, you're good. The statute of limitations, is it going to get her? No, they still want her for murder, a convicted cop killer and domestic terrorist. No statute of limitations there. Now, of course, the Women's March, they don't have a problem with holding her up. But this is here we see again, kind of the lunatic sort of progressive agenda here where they're propping up domestic terrorists and pedophiles. looking the other way that, you know, well, he paid his time, 13 months in prison for abusing, serial abuse.
Yeah, and that's the really sad thing is that we have, yeah, he says, I'm a victim too. And as I said before, it's a law that he created. It is, the law is wrong in the case of what they sent him for. As you pointed out, Owen, they were really sending him to jail because he was a pedophile. But other people are going to be sent to jail for non-crimes of money laundering when it wasn't money laundering at all or structuring of withdrawals. Thank you for joining us, Leanne McAdoo. We'll be right back.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
Infowarsstore.com. We've got monster specials going on right now. The summer mega specials that are ending soon. So be sure to get to Infowarsstore.com, especially to take advantage of the 30% off Super Male Vitality and Survival Shield X2. These are two of our top-selling, top-rated products. They're 30% off today, plus free shipping. That's store-wide. But that special, the 30% off Super Male Vitality and Survival Shield X2, is ending today. These products, we are running low on quantity as well. So make sure to get to InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of Super Male Vitality, Survival Shield X2, 30% off. Don't forget Caveman back in stock, 25% off. Secret 12 back in stock, 25% off. DNA Force back in stock and 20% off. So we get these great products. They sell off the shelves and then we get them back and we immediately put them on sale for you to get a 360 win and free shipping store wide, folks. No matter how many products you order, no matter how big they are, the quantity, whatever, free shipping store wide. Take advantage of the summer mega specials at InfoWarsStore.com. And if you're like me, and you see somebody like Angela Rye opening her big trap and you literally lose your mind. I mean, I go crazy, folks. I kind of lose control. This is how you can actually filter that into a good direction. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com, buy a product, and that's putting your thumb in the eye of the mainstream media propping us up. Okay, so this is incredible. So the healthcare thing is a big topic right now. Here is a story from the Free Beacon from July 13th. Department of Justice charges over 400 people for combined $1.3 billion in healthcare fraud, folks. This is government-run healthcare, okay? This is why we need the government out of our healthcare, because it's slave care, like what they did to Charlie Gard, and because medical healthcare fraud is rampant to the tune of billions of dollars, David. And this is why the Republicans knew that their constituents didn't want government healthcare, didn't want Obamacare, and they've been promising to repeal it, but they failed.
Yeah, they never had a plan, and they're not going to repeal it because the insurance companies want the profits that have exploded. As Rand Paul pointed out, they went from $6 billion profits a year to $15 billion a year profits. And, you know, this is the kind of
thing. No, Obamacare gives to the poor, David.
Yeah, no, you know what we have in America is we have this peculiar combination of socialism and fascism. And for people who think that those things are polar opposites of each other, you really need to take a look at the Nolan chart. Maybe you guys can find a copy of the Nolan chart.
Maybe study Nazis.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that we have is we have this linear view of the political spectrum where everything is aligned on one end. And we're told that the communists are polar opposite, that Stalin was polar opposite of Adolf Hitler. No, in reality, their policies were really very similar. And Hitler called himself a socialist. It was a national socialist. The Nazis were, right? He differed from Stalin only in the sense that Adolf Hitler was smarter than Stalin was. Adolf Hitler wanted to keep private companies because they could build the better bombers for him, the rockets that he could drop on London and so forth. He wanted to keep them and control them. He wanted to use these private companies and let them profit in what we today call crony capitalism. But that was true economic fascism. And when you take this Nolan chart, for those of you who are looking at it, what it is basically a graph. If you can imagine a graph where you've got economic freedom on one axis and you've got political freedom or free speech, those civil liberties on the other graph, and then rotate it by 45 degrees so it looks like a diamond. Down at the bottom where you have absolutely no freedom, economically or in civil liberties, that's the authoritarian area. And quite frankly, that's where both Stalin and Hitler were. difference only in that Hitler said, well, we're going to let the private companies run because they're very productive until the very last thing. And the very last instance, we'll take it away from them and then we'll have everything. He said, Stalin made a big mistake in taking it from the private companies first because he's lost the means of production. So that's really the difference between them. And that's what we're looking at here. So when you talk about whether or not this is a socialist plan or whether it is a fascist plan, understand that they want to keep the insurance companies involved and the doctors involved until the last step. And then they will remove that. But that's the element. That's the peculiar combination that we have in America of socialism and fascism that's going to run our health care. And that's, it truly is about slavery. And you know, the other thing that's really about slavery, Owen, is the civil asset forfeiture that is seems to be the pet project of Attorney General Sessions. You know, he really ought to be going after the criminals who are in the deep state who are trying to do a coup against Donald Trump. He ought to be coming after the people in the NSA and the FBI who violated the Hatch Act, who violated the prohibitions against unwarranted searches, who have taken out personal and vendettas to destroy people like General Flynn. He ought to be going against those people. Instead, he's pursuing his pet project of the drug war, which is just as absurd as the pet project of the Democrats coming after the Russians. And this whole thing of civil asset forfeiture, I talked about it last night. I read articles from both National Review and from Mother Jones. People on the left and people on the right both understand the abuses of this. And yet the vast majority of the public don't really understand this. Everybody that I talk to on the outside, when I'm talking about civil asset forfeiture, they've never heard of it. There's no such thing as civil asset forfeiture, really. It is really kind of a concoction of the Orwellian state with a dash of Alice in Wonderland to say that the property has committed a crime. And so I read examples last night in the National Review of a family that was going to lose their home because they had a son that had smoked or dealt pot or whatever. So they're going to come back and take the home from the parents. Why? Because the parents had already paid for their $350,000 home. This is coming after the middle class. It's coming after the lower class in Chicago and other places where the police come in. They never charge you with a crime, but they take your property because they said the property was somehow loosely affiliated with the crime. The other example I always like to give is one of the first ones that I heard about it. A guy who was a commercial jet pilot, and he flew a couple of guys with suits and briefcases from America to Canada. They did a drug deal. The FBI knew about it. When he flies them back to America, the FBI comes out with their SWAT team and arrests these two guys. Fine. They knew that the pilot knew absolutely nothing about this, but they confiscated his plane, which was his only business. He had to sue them in court for 2 years, bankrupted him, shut his business down to try to get those assets back because he didn't have any due process. Meanwhile, we have Sessions, after we've had 24 states that have had civil asset forfeiture reform, 24 states have said, no, we're not going to do this. He's come up with a new and novel approach where basically the federal government will seize the assets and then kick it back to the state, subverting the state's reforms. That's what this new approach is, to get around the 24 states who have said, we're not going to operate and pay for our law enforcement by stealing money from people without ever convicting them of a crime, let alone even charging them with a crime. That is the real crime that is happening in America, civil asset forfeiture. And the Republicans who think after 46 years of a failed drug prohibition policy, who think that you're going to somehow save people from drug addiction by using law enforcement, first of all, they need to listen to Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. We've interviewed them multiple times. These are former law enforcement officers, former prosecutors and judges who have come back and said, this isn't working. Let's not keep doing this. It's failed for 46 years. Yes, drug addiction is a big problem. It is a medical problem. It is a psychological problem. It is a spiritual problem, but it is not going to be solved by law enforcement. But these people who want to keep hammering this, those people on the right, those conservative Republicans who typically care about economic issues, who typically care about private about property rights, they need to take a look at civil asset forfeiture because that essentially is the biggest attack on property rights that we've had in the history of this country. And they need to understand that if you don't own property, you are the property.
And think about all the unwanted deaths, the unwarranted deaths that have resulted because of the war on drugs, because of civil asset forfeiture, no-knock raids, home raids, this, that, and the other thing. But you know, they're not going to worry about that. And I really don't understand, Jeff Sessions' petty obsession with the drug war. It's a very strange thing to me. I have a picture in my head.
Obsessions.
I have a picture in my head. It's like if there was some guy sitting on the riverbank, smoking a marijuana joint, Jeff Sessions would walk up to him and he'd have a big problem. He'd start hassling that guy. He'd call for his arrest. Meanwhile, on the other side of the river, the other riverbank, there's a guy getting hacked to death, literally getting hacked up. And Sessions is over here harassing this guy with the joint, completely ignoring the guy behind him getting hacked up. That's the way I feel what's going on right now. Why isn't Jeff Sessions, not even a comment on the mysterious deaths, six now in the last year, surrounding the DNC and the Clinton Foundation? Six mysterious deaths. You think that's a coincidence? I don't know. I can't get the Department of Justice to do an investigation. I can't get an investigation. I can't get Jeff Sessions to even look at it because he's over here looking at this guy smoking a joint, freaking out. So,
well, he needs to take a look at the Constitution. He took an oath to uphold the Constitution. And this is the most brazen attack on the Constitution I've ever seen, besides being total legal fiction. We have people like the Institute of Justice speaking out on this, saying ordinary Americans see that civil asset forfeiture is unconstitutional. 24 states have taken steps to roll back what's called civil asset forfeiture. And yet this is a scheme by the Attorney General to get around that. We have Senator Mike Lee quoting Clarence Thomas, saying this is an attack on the Constitution. This is an attack on the Constitution by the chief law enforcement officer of our country, encouraging people to steal property, law enforcement to steal property to fund their agencies and to try to get around the reform that states have done because we've had the federal government ignore the Constitution. Absolutely amazing.
And again, you have to think about the philosophy here. Okay, when you're in a situation where, okay, we've already covered the healthcare aspect of this. Just look at Charlie Gard, slave care. You're not in control anymore. The government's in control. It's the same thing with civil asset forfeiture. What authority, what constitutional authority does the government have to take your property? None.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. None. So as soon as the government claims that they have that authority, or as soon as the government tries to enact that authority, they become your superior. You become a slave to the government. That's the philosophical thing to me that needs to be addressed here. Think
slaves
about it.
Can't own property.
Bingo.
Slaves are the property.
And slaves get free health care.
And let's understand, this is from a Reason article. And they point out that more than 23,000 police seizures in Cook County, that's in Chicago, alone. And so it is disproportionately in poor neighborhoods. And this isn't just because they're drug dealers. These are situations, understand, where they have not charged and convicted anybody. 2014, the Washington Post found warrantless police seizures of cash through the so-called equitable sharing program have boomed since 9/11. They've hauled in $2.5 billion in 2014, and this is a key metric here for you to keep in your mind. If you think that this is a small issue that doesn't affect you or won't affect you in the future, in 2014, for the first time ever, the U.S. government seized more property from Americans than burglars did. Let me repeat that. The government stole more money directly, and I'm not talking about the IRS or saying taxation is theft, because really civil asset forfeiture is the way the IRS has operated for a very long time. It then moved to the war on drugs. Now we've got the FAA, we've got the EPA, we've got all these bureaucracies saying, look, if it's a regulation and you're in violation of a regulation, we're not going to call that a crime. We're going to call that a civil offense. You don't get the presumption of innocence. You don't get due process. You don't have to wait. We don't have to wait for a conviction. We can just steal that money from you. So this is a cancer that is running throughout our government. And we need to have somebody, especially you would think, hopefully, the chief law enforcement officer who would understand the Constitution, who would obey the Constitution, who would stop this massive theft. It was Lysander Spooner who said back in Civil War, he said, the difference between the government and a highway robber is that a highway robber merely steals your purse. The government steals your purse and then follows you down the road, nagging you about what you're doing. And that's what these people are doing. They're stealing more money back in 2014. And of course, it's only increased since then, more money than was stolen by burglars.
So the story here is the United States government is the biggest thief in America.
Yeah.
That's it. The U.S. government is the biggest thief in America, and that's now official. And you know, it's amazing. If Jeff Sessions really wants to push this civil asset forfeiture, and he really wants to get the American people behind him, there's only one way he could get my support, and that's if he started with the Clinton Foundation. If Jeff Sessions came out and said, we're going to look at civil asset forfeiture, but we're going to go right after the Clintons, That would be perfectly fine with me. All of that's dirty money. Go after their fleet of aircraft. Go after their fleet of automobiles. Go after their mansions. Go after everything that the Clintons have paid for with their dirty money. If you want to talk about civil asset forfeiture, you know damn well what's going on with the Clinton Foundation, Jeff Sessions. How dare you target American citizens for civil asset forfeiture while ignoring the Clinton Foundation?
Let me tell you the people who have not had their property stolen yet by the American government. And I just pointed out, more than burglars have stolen. If you don't get your property stolen, understand that what Jeff Sessions is involved in here with civil asset forfeiture, he is stealing something even more valuable than your property. He is stealing your property rights.
Your freedom.
He is stealing your freedom to own property, your right to own property, your right to not have that property taken without due process. That is what Jeff Sessions is stealing, and he's stealing it from every one of us here in America, even if they haven't come for your possessions yet. They're taking your most valuable possession, and that is your right to own property. That's what is at stake here with these civil asset forfeiture reform.
Do we have that Mitch McConnell clip ready to go? Let's play Mitch McConnell, the fake Republican lying fraud on his plans to repeal Obamacare.
I want you to take a look at that stack of paper behind me.
From 2013, Mitch McConnell.
It's the most powerful argument yet against Obamacare.
Big stack of paper, taller than him, about 7 feet tall.
What you're seeing is 20,000
the bill that they couldn't read.
Pages.
We have to see it to know what's in it, according to Pelosi.
Hmm. 20,000 pages.
This is at CPAC 2013, Mitch McConnell complaining about Obamacare.
That's bad. Wait till they try to fix it.
Well, they try to fix it.
Oh, yeah. What are you doing?
We had a vote in the Senate to defund this monstrosity.
Oh, what would you do?
Every single Republican voted to defund Obamacare.
Oh, but what happened 4 years after this?
Oh, but when you could really do it. They didn't.
Yeah, when you had the votes to win, you fell through. You caved.
And, of course, every Democrat voted the other way.
A fraud.
And that's what these Democrats voted for. This monument to liberalism right here.
You're a monument for fake conservatives. You're a monument for fake Republicans.
To their constituents, I can tell you that. This law is a disaster.
Then why didn't you repeal it?
Anybody who thinks we've moved beyond it is dead wrong. Obamacare should be repealed root and branch.
Mm. What happened to that Mitch McConnell, David? That was Mitch McConnell 4 years ago. He just had the opportunity to remove it root and branch. What happened?
Must have been some kind of a brain swap or something.
He must have just forgot.
You know?
He must have just forgot.
Pull up a still of that, because for the people listening to us on the radio, he is standing at the podium of CPAC, okay, talking to the base, and he's using this as a prop, and this is a stack of papers that I guess if he's about 6 feet tall, what would you say that
it's
is?
It's about 7 feet, eight feet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would say more like 9 feet tall. They got this big stack.
It's 100,000 feet tall.
They've got it tied up with a red ribbon. Maybe that's red tape that's supposed to be there, right? And they're not going to do anything about it. He can't keep his people in line. They have used this as a prop to get elected, and we've seen through it. Fake GOP. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
News, analysis, reports. It's the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. David Knight here with Owen Schroer. It was for the 4th of July that we began our summer mega specials, because that's what keeps us independent of the mainstream media, is your support. And we can keep you independent of the dangers, as we pointed out, the cancer that has been found in the water in California that's been put there by industrial pollution, or the lead that they found in Flint, Michigan. You can take measures to protect yourself from the hazards that are in the environment, or the things that are missing out of your food supply, the nourishment that is missing from that. So it is a win-win situation. It's how you keep us independent, and our information helps to keep America independent. So we've extended that special through the month of July. We extended free shipping, and we still have many of our biggest sellers still on special. However, we have two of them, Super Male Vitality and Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine. They're about to run out of stock, and we have to reserve that for people who have signed up for auto ship. So that 30% off of those two products, Super Male Vitality and Survival Shield X2, that will be ending today. We still have free shipping on everything else, and we still have a lot of other products that are massively discounted, very popular products. We have Caveman now back in stock, very, very popular, very difficult to keep in stock. It is now back in stock and 25% off. We have Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formulation, 25% off. Other things like DNA, Force, 20% off. Now, you look at it, that's a very big discount dollar-wise because that is a very expensive supplement. And then things like InfoWars Select Storable Food, 30 to 40% off. Many other things are discounted at InfoWars, and it is free shipping store-wise. So take a look at that. Remember that Super Male and Survival Shield X2 will be ending today. That's 30% off, and Caveman is now back at 25% off. Let's take a quick look at climate. We've got, and it's linked from Al Gore, a report on page 6. Al Gore's out there pushing his sequel. You know, like they point out in the article, Hollywood loves to do sequels, and so do the statists. So we've got a sequel coming from Al Gore. He even calls it an inconvenient sequel. Truth to power, he says. Well, is it true? He says there's still time to avoid catastrophe. That is, if you'll pay him. Remember, he's going to be one of the world's first carbon billionaires. He partnered with a guy named Blood, and so we now have an organization they should call Blood and Gore, but they called it Gore and Blood. Same difference. But now he's telling people in this sequel, he says, 10 years ago, I did an inconvenient truth. Its predictions are coming true. No, they're not. Listen to the things he said. Seas overflowing. Are you seeing that happening?
No, actually, there's a new island in North Carolina because the sea level went down.
Yeah. And earlier in the year, as at the beginning of the year, we had Venice talking about how all the canals were dry. They've now filled up again. But, I mean, air changes, temperature rising. No, it's not. They're manipulating the data. And we reported this multiple times. NASA, NOAA, and the UK agencies have gone back and adjusted the data. And guess what they did? They took the old data and they took the temperatures down. All the new data, they adjusted it upward. So that kind of created a trend. And when we look at this story from New American, I think this really kind of highlights it. They say the new climate hero, China, will be building hundreds of new coal plants. Remember, coal is horrible, right? And China was our big friend. They were going to take as everybody got upset with Donald Trump for getting us out of this phony Paris climate agreement. And even the environmentalists who think that the planet is warming up, they even understand that this is nothing but a payoff to people like Al Gore. Anyway, we have California Governor Jerry Brown has gone to Beijing and telling them, hey, I'm still with you guys. I'm still in this climate thing. Well, first of all, he can't make that decision. That would be a Logan Act violation. But then there's going to be 1,600 coal plants created worldwide. And guess what? 700 of them are in China. And China is going to be building hundreds of other plants in other countries. More than half of the new coal plants are going to be built by their hero, the environmentalist hero, China. Stay with us. We've got another five-minute segment. And then we've got Roger Stone coming up for the fourth hour. Be right back.
And now, the tip of the spear, leading the fight to take back the nation. It's Owen Schroyer. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
You know, in a sane nation, in a nation of people that still can think coherently and have common sense, people like Al Gore, Hillary Clinton, and Brian Williams would be 100% discredited. Literally. Complete blatant liars, known liars, proven liars, should be completely discredited, yet somehow Al Gore can still profit off of a new film, even though his last documentary was 100% wrong. Hillary Clinton can still somehow run for office, even though she lied about being under sniper fire. That's just one thing. And Brian Williams can still get a job anchoring news at MSNBC, even though he lied about his experience with a military experience. So these people should be completely discredited, yet somehow people take their word as gold. It's really sickening to me. And there's really only three type of people as we talk about climate change, David. There's people that know global warming is a hoax and want to let other people know. There's people that know global warming is a hoax and then want to become rich off of it. And then there's the third person who believes in the global warming myth and is completely duped by it. Those are the only three type of people that exist in this climate change madness. But I was going through some news today, David, and I saw this story. I'm sure that you can probably even remember when they were doing this. I was still young at the time. But in 1992, all kinds of publications, the Beacon Journal, the Detroit Free Press, all of these publications were coming out because NASA just predicted that an ozone hole over North America is far worse than we think. And they were saying that the hole in the ozone was going to kill us all. In 1992, we have to do something about the ozone. It's life or death. We're all going to die.
And it was the first time they looked at the ozone. They said, hey, there's a hole in it. Well, there might have been a hole in it before. They didn't know. But I remember...
There's a hole in their head.
I remember the first Earth Day. And I remember that the concern at that point in time was that we were entering a new ice age.
Yeah.
The reality is that the sun dominates our climate. Duh. Okay, do you really think that, does it take, it takes a lot of fake news, a lot of fake science, it takes a lot of collusion between politicians and the media to try to convince you of the absurdity that we have a greater impact on the overall climate than the sun does. That's just obvious. That should be intuitively obvious. But if it's not intuitively obvious, you can take a look at where what they have done to manipulate the data. They had ClimateGate. They had that back in a couple of times. They had exposures of that. First one was 1,000 emails that eventually were exposed. Guess where? On a Russian server. Isn't that interesting? And then a couple of years later, they had another 5,000 emails exposed. What were they saying at the time? They're saying the data does not match our models. The temperature is way below what our models are saying. We have to adjust the data so that we get our predictions to come out the way that we want them to. And they're still doing that. We've had another study that goes back and shows the adjusted data accounts for all of the hyped temperatures. This is the reality that we see happening over and over again. This is the article from New American. This is the report that we reported on last week. Very, very
reporting on this for years.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it goes back to ClimateGate, which is a very old report that came out in the mid-2000s.
Well, and how many different scientific groups, I mean, MIT, I mean, you got all these scientific groups. How many scientific groups have to come out, disprove the theory of global warming, disprove the theory of sea levels rising, disprove the theory of extreme weather increasing? All of it's down. It's the exact opposite. And the people providing you those facts, which is fake news, again, are Al Gore, Hillary Clinton, and Brian Williams, completely proven liars. Why would you take anything they say seriously? But, you know, here's the craziest thing to me, too, David, and it always seems to get lost in translation when we have these debates, and I always like to bring it back up. We talk about climate change. We talk about the environment getting extreme, less extreme, whatever. Why do we always ignore geoengineering? This is no longer a conspiracy theory. This is published in mainline science books. This is talked about in Russia and China. They're openly doing it. They're openly saying how they spray chemicals in the air to manipulate weather. They're now doing that on the East Coast of the United States. If we're going to talk climate change, if we're going to talk global warming or global cooling or the ozone, why don't we talk about the chemicals the government is knowingly spraying in the environment? We get nothing on that. Roger Stone next.
Yeah, they don't just manipulate the data. They manipulate the climate.
Literally, and then ignore it.
Before you slip into unconsciousness.
And now, the tip of the spear, leading the fight to take back the nation. It's Roger Stone.
Welcome. I'm Roger Stone, and you're at InfoWars, the right place to get the bare-fisted truth. This week, I had occasion to travel to Las Vegas, Nevada, to speak at a very important rally called STAND, which meant we stood for justice for the Bundy family. Now, because of an absence of mainstream media coverage, many Americans don't know the story of Cliven Bundy and his family, but they are ranchers, among the last ranchers on federal land, or land held by the federal government, in Clark County, Nevada. And when Rancher Bundy became behind in his payments to the government, well, rather than being contacted by a government lawyer, the government launched a Waco-style assault on his ranch in Nevada. This, in turn, inflamed the feelings of patriots from surrounding states, including Nevada, who know that all the way back to the Federalist Papers, the states were to regulate the use of the land, and that 80% of the land in Nevada now belongs to the federal government and is managed by the Bureau of Land Management. In any event, the reaction and the many citizens who went to the standoff in Bunkerville, where federal snipers and troops aided by the FBI had the Bundy family men, women, and children under siege, they were subsequently arrested, protesters these are, for their presence to support the Bundys. Many of them were brandishing arms, as was their legal right. These were licensed firearms. And the only known gunplay seems to have come from the federal government. In any event, what has happened now is what brought my attention to this case. It is the conduct of the government after the siege of Bunkerville. First of all, the Clark County Sheriff assured the Bundy family that the feds were standing down and the matter would be adjudicated in a peaceful manner. That was minutes before the Waco-style assault on the Bundy ranch and before snipers had the Bundy children in their scope sight. In fact, however, the government now has held at least 18 men, 17 supporters of the Bundys, and one journalist, Pete Pistilli, without trial release or pre-trial release, shackled together. And in court, Judge Gloria Navarro, a protege and appointee and handpicked federal judge of the notoriously corrupt Harry Reid, has systematically denied not only the Bundys, but their supporters due process. There are people under indictment for murder in this jurisdiction who have obtained pretrial release. Now, 18 months later, these men are still incarcerated in an effort to squeeze them. They are shackled together. They are not allowed to have their to speak among themselves, even conversation and communication among their lawyers is limited. The judge has ruled out a First Amendment defense. The judge has ruled out a Second Amendment defense. The judge has ruled out a Fourth Amendment offense. Cliven Bundy himself is not allowed to choose his own attorney, nor are the defendants allowed to question any action whatsoever by the Bureau of Land Management or the FBI, either before, during, or after the siege. This is a kangaroo court. This is a fraud upon the American people. This is not what we had in mind. Now, when I was in Nevada, I met many fine people with many strong opinions about this case. One night at dinner, one patriot said, you know, the way to solve this is to get 300 carefully selected and heavily armed men, lay siege to the courthouse, kill the judge, kill the prosecutors, and save the Bundys. Believe me, that is exactly the wrong thing to do. I denounce a violence or more gunplay or more bloodshed to solve this problem. That is not the answer, in my view. There is an answer, and I'd like to show you what I said at Saturday's rally, if we could run that.
I have known Donald Trump, the President of the United States, for 40 years. He is a just man. He is a decent man. He is an honest man. He is a compassionate man. He is a believer in the U.S. Constitution. He answers only to the American people, not to the two-party duopoly that has run this country into the ground. And therefore, I appeal to the president, review this case in the name of justice, in the name of mercy, in the name of fairness. Pardon every member of the Bundy family and their supporters, and do it now. We will be posting a petition at Infowars.com and at StoneColdTruth.com.
I go on to say that we're going to be posting a petition at Infowars.com, which will be coming up imminently, addressed to the president, respectfully asking him to review this case and to issue a pardon for the Bundys and their supporters, and particularly for a journalist, Pete Pistilli, who is only in jail today because he was asking questions that embarrass the government. He's accused of brandishing a gun. No, my friends, he was brandishing a microphone. When the government starts locking up journalists because they ask inconvenient questions, we have reached a slippery slope. Now is as good a time as any to remind you that what we do here at Infowars.com doesn't come free. We are fighting every day for our own survival as the Soros-funded tech left, whether it is Amazon or Yahoo or Twitter or Facebook, seek to limit our ability to reach you. They play all kinds of games. Dr. Jerry Corsi here at InfoWars has written some terrific articles about their attempt to end the communications revolution that allowed us to band together with Alex Jones and elect Donald Trump. And therefore, we need your support by going to the Infowars.com store. And you've got some summer mega specials here that really should not be missed. Caveman, which is a fundamental building block nutrition program that allows you to harness the power of super nutrients that have been used by strong people since the beginning of time. A number of my friends who are into bodybuilding are supplementing their program with this and are very pleased with it. Survival Shield, which I believe had a role in saving my life after I was poisoned back around Christmas. That is 30% off. This is the good iodine. This is the kind of iodine that is virtually impossible to find on the health food market. So this is a big favorite around the Stone household. Secret 12. This stuff recharges your energy, helps you fight fatigue, at least in my experience. If you hit some Secret 12 and a couple of Brain Force tabs, you're good to do a couple hours on InfoWars and then draft a piece for the website. Secret 12, back in stock. I was upset about this. I tried it. I liked it. I ordered it. It was out. But folks, it's back. Get it now. This stuff sells out very, very quickly. But that is a 25% off. DNA Force, 20% off, back in stock. Living Defense, absolutely necessary given the poisons in our food and our water and the air we breathe. Now 20% off. Z-Shield, 30% off. And then, of course, there's the InfoWar Select Storable Food, which is off as much as 30, 40% discounted. Now, folks, you get free shipping as part of these summer sales. And I cannot remind you enough that this is a win-win situation. You're not only buying the very finest all-natural products for you yourself and your family, but you're also aiding the fight for freedom. You are helping give us voice here at InfoWars. You are helping beat back the David Brocks and the James Carvilles and the George Soroses who would strangle our First Amendment rights. We cannot do it without your support. When we say you are the tip of the spear, that's what we mean. This is a people's revolution. And without your support for InfoWars, we can no longer carry the torch for freedom. So please, friends, look at these terrific specials. Now's the time to stock up. You'll be glad you did.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Roger Stone.
Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone, and you're at InfoWars, which is the best place to get the real news. This past Friday, Michael Caputo, a friend of mine for much of my adult life, testified before the House Intelligence Committee in their inquiry into Russian collusion into the campaign of Donald Trump, allegedly for the purposes of electing him over Hillary Clinton. I believe the House Intelligence Committee and particularly Congresswoman Jackie Speier of Connecticut, California, owe Michael Caputo an apology. You see, Michael Caputo had no contacts whatsoever with any Russians, no knowledge of any Russian collusion. His sin seems to be that in the 80s he lived in Russia, and that he has a wife who is Ukrainian. This may come as a terrible shock to Maxine Waters, but Russia and Ukraine are two different countries. At the time of his involvement in Russia, Mr. Caputo was actually working for the United States government through the USIA, but in fact involved in a government-sanctioned CIA program to tip the Russian presidential election to Boris Yeltsin. This was, of course, during the Clinton administration. The point, of course, is that we in the United States have clearly interfered in a Russian election. Mr. Caputo, a very able fellow who I first met when he was working for Congressman Jack Kemp, who ultimately he would ably serve as press secretary and communications director, had the high honor of once being a driver at the august firm of Black, Manafort, Stone, and Atwater. He is a proud veteran of the U.S. Army. He is a superb writer and editor. And a very talented fellow with a wealth of campaign experience. That's why he went to work for the Trump campaign in their New York office. He was hauled before this committee for no good reason whatsoever, not on the basis of some probable cause or some email that linked him in any way to Russian collusion. But that did not mean that Mr. Caputo did not need to hire a lawyer, did not need to travel to Washington, and most disgustingly, did have to put up with the threats at his home and place of business from left-wing nut jobs all over Western New York. Mr. Caputo's testimony took roughly 3.5 hours, of which I'm told more than 2 hours were about one Roger J. Stone, Jr. At the same time, the House Intelligence Committee canceled my scheduled testimony for July 24th. Just to remind you, I am anxious to testify. I have not asked for immunity. I have not asked for I don't require a subpoena. I will come voluntarily. But I have repeatedly asked that my testimony be in public, something the Democrats on the committee just will not agree to. This seems to me to be elementary fairness. I have been maligned by Mr. Schiff, Ms. Speier, Mr. Swalwell, and other members of the committee who have made patently false and defamatory, in a normal circumstance, comments about me in public, having no qualms about that, but want to give me my opportunity to answer in private. This is inherently unfair. Nonetheless, with the agreement that we would release a transcript, I am willing to testify and behind closed doors if that's what it takes to prove the point that there was no Russian collusion. When will I testify? Stand by.
Let me make this perfectly clear. You're listening to Roger Stone on InfoWars.
Why, thank you very much, Mr. President. I am indeed Roger Stone, and you're back on InfoWars. Before we go any further, I want to remind you that we here at InfoWars are seeking to expand. We want more people to hear the voice of freedom. I have just reached an agreement with Alex Jones, and soon you will be able to hear me here on InfoWars 5 days a week. And we are going to bring you the cutting edge news out of Washington and the fight between the globalists and the patriots, which is only just beginning. But we cannot even anticipate these kinds of expansions, bureaus in other cities, additional journalists to help us uncover the corruption of the globalists and their ilk without help from you. That's why I once again urge you to hit the InfoWars.com store. Now, in my family, the T-shirts there are invariably a hit. If you don't have your Trump Pence 2020 T-shirt, you should grab it now because this is going to end up in the Smithsonian. I believe you can still get the Hillary for Prison 2017 T-shirt at the InfoWars.com store. These items are, I think, crucial parts of Americana. And if you can get these, you become a one-person First Amendment advocate. The iconic Bill Clinton rape T-shirt. Folks, when these sell out, there will be no more. This is the T-shirt that the Time magazine and others wrote about, which we use to break the mainstream media blackout on Bill Clinton's history as a rapist and a sexual assaulter of women. The mainstream media preferred to call it far more innocuous terms such as infidelities and indiscretions. So this is a T-shirt that played a role in history thanks to Alex Jones, and so many of you. Get these items now. You not only, when you're in public, will hook up with kindred spirits, other patriots who like your T-shirt and know you're on board the Trump train, or that you're a patriot. Get the Paul Joseph Watson T-shirt, and you'll find other Watson aficionados. But do it now. It helps the cause, and it helps us fight those who would strangle us here at InfoWars when it comes to information. The left is well aware of the fact that without a vibrant and robust alternative media, without InfoWars and Breitbart and Daily Caller and Town Hall and Gateway Pundit and so many others, the election of Donald Trump would have been unthinkable. Now they seek to use tricky algorithms and other computer tricks to limit our ability to reach you, to limit our retweets and our reposts. It takes money to fight this, folks. It takes a lot of effort here at InfoWars to keep the cutting-edge information coming to us, get us in to put it in digestible form and get it to you so you can remain on the cutting edge of the InfoWars. Please go to the store today and give us the support we need. Many times people ask me as I travel, what should President Trump do now? If you're familiar with Stone's rules, well, then you know one of the most important rules is you never win on defense, or the corollary, attack, attack, attack. The entire Russian collusion delusion has collapsed around the Democrats and the mainstream media's ears. They have nothing other than an innocuous meeting by Donald Trump Jr., who was contacted by someone he knew, a friend, who told me that who told him that a Russian lawyer had information detrimental to Hillary Clinton that could affect the campaign. In all honesty, Don Jr. would have been guilty of malpractice as a supporter of his father, not to glean whether there was accurate information and its source. We now know, of course, that that information was not forthcoming. And there are many suspicious things about this meeting, including the fact that James Comey's FBI let this shady woman lawyer into the country so that she could meet with Don Jr. Can you say set up? We also seem to learn every 15 minutes that this meeting had yet another participant. Where did they have this meeting? Yankee Stadium? The point, of course, is that Donald Trump Jr. did nothing improper, did nothing wrong, did nothing illegal, but this is what the mainstream media has. Where is the collusion? What came from this meeting that somehow affected the election? The answer is nothing. But instead of arguing about that, we should be arguing about the fact that the NSA, under former President Barack Obama, routinely violated the U.S. Constitution while scouring through overseas intercepts and then failing to fess up to the extent to which they abused this information. Don't take it from me. Take it from the U.S. FISA court. Tens of thousands of Americans were illegally surveilled in violation of the Constitution and the law. This is much, much bigger than Watergate. No, this is not a conspiracy theory. My source is the FISA court of the United States government. So the question is very, very clear. What did Susan Rice know? What did Ben Rhodes know? What did Mr. Admiral Rogers know? What did James Clapper know? What did former CIA Director John Brennan know? It's time to find out. And the only way we can find out is by Attorney General Jeff Sessions convening a grand jury and beginning an earnest investigation into why Barack Obama and his administration violated the civil liberties and constitutional rights of scores of Americans. Again, far worse than anything ever alleged in Watergate. This story was broken by Circa News in an extraordinary article by Sarah Carter and John Solomon, who have broken a number of block blockbuster stories about the excesses of the Obama administration. And I'm sure you remember reading this about this incredible breach of civil liberties, an extraordinarily illegal activity on the front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post. Oh, you didn't see it there. Well, that's because they didn't cover it. This is perhaps the largest breach of American data of private citizens in history. Certainly the most serious legal abuse by the intelligence agencies, including the FBI, in recent American history. Yet what you've gotten is a media blackout. And of course, there is the central question. What did the president know, and when did he know it? You see, no person is above the law, and it happened under Barack Obama's watch. Just as former President Richard Nixon was held responsible for the excesses and, in some cases, illegalities under his watch, so must President Obama be held responsible for the actions of his appointees, and what his criminal culpability is needs to be determined. Now, I'm hopeful that Chairman Nunes of the House Committee will examine this, which has nothing to do with Russia, and determine where the law has been broken. But one wonders why the U.S. Attorney General, Mr. Sessions, seems more obsessed with cracking down on the 29 states that have legalized marijuana than he is in putting Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, and Barack Obama in prison. Make no mistake about it, the plan of the left is clear. Robert Mueller, maneuvered into office by a deputy attorney general who is a neocon hitman for both the Clintons and the Bushes, Mr. Rosenstein, will now drag out a 2-year investigation seeking some dirt on the president. Dirt that he has not found so far. Dirt that may have to be manufactured by Mr. Comey. Mr. Comey, Mr. Rosenstein, and Mr. Mueller are better known as the Three Amigos. All three of them have been hitmen for Bill and Hillary Clinton, as well as the Bush family. All three of them have colluded together to railroad Donald Trump and to, I would say, destabilize and delegitimize his presidency. The Democrats hope that they win the House in 18 with a hope that then anything that they offer as an assault on the president could be used as the grounds for impeachment. That is the left's game plan, folks. I just laid it out for you. And quite honestly, there are two ways to defeat it. First of all, we must decapitate the deep state enemy. You cannot win, as I said earlier, on defense. It is time for Donald Trump, our president, to lay out for the American people the extraordinary civil liberties abuses and the spying that was done on Americans in violation of the Constitution. And it is time for the Justice Department to seek justice and criminal convictions among those who were involved. Yes, that is up to and including President Barack Obama, if the evidence goes there. No person is above the law. And then secondarily, we have to recognize that those weak sisters who are wringing their hands about the 2018 elections don't understand that it is far too early to see what the political situation will be in the fall of 2018. Our politics today moves faster than ever because of the internet-based 24-hour news cycle. And therefore, we don't know, for example, the state of the economy. If you go to thestonecoldtruth.com, I have a terrific story on the successes of Donald Trump, the successes that you aren't reading about in the mainstream media, the job numbers, the stock market, consumer confidence, indicators in another number of different industries show that the program of cutting regulations and simplifying doing business in America, and also just the perception that we have a pro-business president who knows what he's doing, well, despite continuous attacks, Donald Trump is getting the job done. And that economy will manifest itself in even greater strides in term for the 2018 election. And then we need outstanding candidates. Let me name one. That would be Omar Navarro, who's had the gumptions to take on Maxine Waters, one of the most corrupt, out-of-touch Trump haters in the U.S. Congress. Now, Omar lives in the district in which he'll be running. Unfortunately, Maxine Waters does not live in the district in which she was running. She, a millionaire, lives in a mansion nearby in Hancock. She has one of the poorest districts in the United States, but believe me, Maxine Waters and her husband live high on a number of scams. She has had numerous ethical problems, which are well documented. If someone would like to do a Google search, let me just say this. If she were a Hispanic male rather than an African-American woman, I think she'd be in prison right now. But she is one of a protected political class of elites. You notice when they began to ask Susan Rice about why she was being investigated over the illicit use of surveillance information, she said, "I'm being targeted because I'm a woman and a black." No, I oppose Maxine Waters because of her record, not her ethnicity. I oppose her not because of her gender, but because she is corrupt, for the same reasons that I think Susan Rice should be prosecuted because she broke the law, not because who or what she is. In any event, Omar Navarro reminds me of a young Richard Nixon running for his first congressional term. He's tough, he's feisty, he's energetic, he's knowledgeable on the issues, and he's running a real grassroots campaign. This district, which was once solidly African American, now has a plurality of Hispanic voters. And there is, I think, a general disgust in the district with the fact that Maxine Waters is living high and she gives lip service to economic growth and opportunity, but nothing has improved for the people of her district. This will be one of the epic congressional races for you to watch, and I ask you to do so. Take a minute to go to Omar Navarro's website and make a contribution. You know, this is a grassroots campaign. We don't have billionaire super PACs supporting candidates like Omar. But do yourself a favor and watch this race. Watch it very carefully. It is young, liberty-minded conservatives like Omar Navarro that are the future of America. I'm Roger Stone. You're at InfoWars, and I'll be back.
My fellow Americans, let me make this perfectly clear. You're listening to Roger Stone on InfoWars.
Ooh, Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'm Roger Stone, and indeed you're back here on InfoWars. I was with Alex Jones last week, and as we floated in the middle of Lake Travis, we began to talk about his plans for the expansion of the InfoWar imprint, how we can reach millions of more liberty-minded patriots, the foot soldiers of the Trump revolution. And I can tell you, folks, he has very, very big plans, plans that I think will revolutionize alternative conservative communications for some time to come. Can't do these things, however, without your support. And that's why I want to take my last few minutes to urge you to get to the InfoWars.com store. There is a great product there. It's called The Making of the President 2016 by a fellow named Roger Stone, which is the inside story of the Trump election. But beyond that, take advantage of these summer specials for incredible products like Secret 12, DNA Force, Z-Shield, deep, deep discounts now at the end of the season. You not only help yourself, but believe me, you help fuel our fight with the David Brocks and the George Soroses and the other knuckleheads of the left who don't realize that they're on the wrong sides of the tides of history and they are going to lose. I also want to tell you that I will be in Tucson, Arizona on Wednesday the 26th at the Quail Creek Country Club, 9:30 to 11:30, and then later in the day at the Mountain Oyster Club from 2 to 4. This is the John McCain Truth Cavalcade. Yes, this is the John McCain Truth Tour. I am going to be exposing John McCain's not only his treacherous and, yes, treasonous activity when it comes to his betrayal of President Donald Trump, but I'm going to be exposing his own campaign's contacts with the Russians. In other words, John McCain is exactly guilty of the exact thing that Donald Trump has been accused falsely of by the Arizona Center. I want to focus on Senator McCain and his fitness to be the United States for Arizona. So come on out for the John McCain Truth Tour next week in Tucson. You can go to the Pima County Republican Party at PimaGOP.org to get tickets. But come on out and hear the stone cold truth about John McCain. This is Roger Stone. It's been great to be with you at InfoWars. We need your support, folks, for the expansion we have in mind. It'll give you an even better opportunity to get the facts you need to beat the daylights out of the hard left and the globalists who would take away our freedom. So, victory or death. We also want to
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.